welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Fans work somewhere else. Yes. What was I talking about? That's right, 866-901-ADAM. That's the phone number. Good morning, Teresa Strasser.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Good morning, Dave Damashek.
Yeah, I was glad that the audience got a little sample of the fact that this is just a four-hour window into the world of Adam Carolla.
Yeah,
we picked up just
before.
The tail end of some nonsense.
Well, we were listening to a commercial that was recruiting for the Sheriff's Department or Orange County Sheriff Reserve or something like that. Do we have that? Can we play that? This is the last thing we heard before the mics heated up this morning. And Dave and I are always amused. We're amused at all businesses that feel like they need a jingle. Mm. You know, whether it's Sports Chalet.
Sports Chalet! We take you to the limit!
Yeah, listen.
I'm shopping there.
I'll buy some golf clubs or a Ziffy board from just about anywhere that's closest to my house. The singing never swayed me one way or the other. And then there's ones, I think there's like four-wheel auto parts where they just go, four-wheel auto part. Like, look, first off, if you don't have a jingle, save it. I don't want to hear it. Come up with a jingle. It's got to have a little bounce in its step. Otherwise, I'm not interested. There are a lot of businesses where it's like somebody said, hey, we're going to go ahead and record our commercial for our muffler shop or our auto parts store or our sporting goods store. And somebody said, well, what's your jingle going to be? I'll start laying down that track. And they said, oh, we don't have a jingle. And then somebody said, haven't you seen the regulations, A-27? Right here in the commercial code book says, by mandate, California law, you must have a jingle in your commercial. And then they threw one together at the last second, shoehorned it in to sort of satisfy some requirement. A lot of them act like the jingles were foisted on them. Doesn't seem like the kind of thing you would come up with. All I'm saying is if you have a jingle, I would treat it no different than karaoke. If you have a song you do and you do it well, by all means, hop up on stage. I don't want to hear some fat hack doing My Way one more time in stonewashed jeans. Do you know what I'm saying? If you got nothing, then we don't need it. And just like with the commercial, it's not like I'm going to be sitting around the karaoke joint going, where's the fat hack with the stonewashed jeans? How come he's not? I won't miss you. There are plenty of commercials, like ones for financial institutes and stuff. They don't have jingles. They seem to do okay. There's a lot of commercials, banks and financial institutes and things like that, even ones that have to do with, you know, feminine products and things. But there's a lot of them that don't have jingles. They do just all right.
Well, it's hard to rhyme Massengill.
Oh, yeah. I'm saying, if you can bring it, bring it.
You certainly brought something this night. Tears to my eyes.
All right, let's hear the sheriff. Let's hear the sheriff one if we have it.
Make a difference in your community. Do something that is fun, exciting, and rewarding. Become an LA County Sheriff Reserve Deputy.
Every day people doing their parts.
Peebo Bryson, circa 1982.
We've got the challenge you've been waiting for. Patrol, mounted posse, or search and rescue.
Real life heroes who carry a star.
Honor. Courage, integrity. Call 1-866-232-7373. That's 1-866-BE-A-RESERVE.
Makes it sound fun.
Everyone just dig the bass riff down here. They don't do these kind of bass riffs anymore in songs today.
Oh, green-eyed lady.
I like how you have an intro. You don't just sing it.
Well, green-eyed lady takes about 8 minutes to ramp up. It's the only song that starts with a 10-minute bass solo.
Into the night was this?
Well, the karaoke isn't something you do at the beginning of the night, so thus you're loaded. You know, I mean, I start boozing early because I was throwing this party, and the karaoke mics don't get busted out until at least midnight, so everyone's pretty soused by that time.
Matter of fact, I think this was the day before we started doing this radio show.
Is it?
I'm mistaken. Was it not? New Year's Eve.
No. I don't think that was from New Year's Eve. Well, maybe it was.
I think it was.
Well, maybe
the
it
ace
was.
In the hole, your bar that lives on your residence.
Oh, yeah. Wow. T, you'll be invited there soon, baby doll.
I can't wait.
Well, Kimmel used to throw a lot of karaoke parties where he would sing with his pants down. He would sing in his underpants. Remember that?
Yeah.
That was always good. I always, I feel like this with karaoke, and maybe it's just me and my general snobbery, but pick a song that's interesting. I don't want to see you and your five chick friends singing Summer Lovin'. Again, I've had an ass full of a lot of the Sinatra standards and stuff. There's a lot of real basic stuff. I don't want to hear any more Tequila Sunrises or Hotel California. I want you to dig a little bit deeper into the karaoke vault. Your job when you sing karaoke, your job is to make a song your own, but make one that no one has heard before, or at least one that's not on. There's about a 20 song rotation in most karaoke things, and then there's a big drop off after those 20 songs. I've had an ass full of them. You'll never do them better than the original was, and if the original came on, I would quickly turn the radio because I've heard it too many times as well. Dig a little deeper, be a little more creative, and you'll not be judged as harshly, I would argue as well.
Millions of songs from which to choose.
Cheat you.
That's right. That's right. So we were listening to that, and I was mentioning to Dave about the sheriff's department. I said, I guarantee whoever sung that song is a sheriff. That's an inside job right there. That's the sheriff's band. They probably call themselves the Mounted Posse, and there's six or seven of them, and it always becomes a novelty every once in a while when the sheriff guys or the firemen or the doctors start rapping. It's always one of those things that I was saying to Dave, what is the novelty? Because every singer who's not making money in the industry is a professional fill in the blank. Oh, maybe they're a waiter, maybe they're a school teacher, but they all have jobs. They're not paying the checks with royalty checks, you know?
And they have the dumb name, as you say. Dr. Rosenpenis in the stethoscopes.
Wait a minute, I'm writing that down. All right, well, speaking of penis, Patricia Arquette is...
She's not, but
she has a brother that's trying to lose one, or sister that had one, or kind of figure that out.
Just call her Alexis.
Yes, that's right. Also, Dave's jerk list today. Excited about that. Also, IBF heavyweight champ Vladimir Klitschko.
Did you watch that fight, Ace, on Saturday?
I did. I did watch it. As a matter of fact, I didn't watch it on Saturday, but I had a TiVo'd and got a call last night that he was going to be on the show. So I watched it last night just to make sure I was, you know, up to date on everything. He looks good. I mean, it's hard to tell in the heavyweight division. He's got a couple of losses, but he's like 47-3. He's huge. He's got good knockout power. And the heavyweight division is such a... It's a mishigas.
Here's what's
right
happened
now.
With yes. that ace. Here's my analysis of the heavyweight ranks. Mm-hmm. Is that in America, all the great big guys, you know, in the 50s and before, these guys all, you know, went into boxing. It was the number one sport. But now, if you're 6'4" and a dynamite athlete, of course, you're going to be a tight end in the NFL mm-hmm. or maybe a three in the NBA. Why would you get beaten in the head?
True. Well, yeah, no, that's true. I mean, a lot of people theorize that's what's happening, and it probably is what's happening. The other thing is all the boxers always come from whoever's hungriest, and, you know, there used to be a lot of Jewish boxers back before Jews became dentists and attorneys and doctors and things like that when they just arrived here on U.S. soil, and they were struggling like every other immigrant group. There was tons of Jewish fighters, you know, in the 20s and 30s and stuff. But then their parents saved some money and their kids went to college, and now there's almost no Jewish fighters anymore. The Eastern Bloc folks still hungry, technically white, but they are hungry. Mm. So it's curious because you see the white guy who seems well-spoken and you think, well, this guy can't come from... Yeah, but this guy comes from poverty and this guy's hungry. And I wonder if the brothers here... who formerly in the last, you know, 25, 30 years were the hungry ones, maybe they're not quite as hungry as they were 30 years ago.
Hmm.
Not that there's not still poverty everywhere, but whoever's hungriest, you know, the Jews used to do a lot of fighters, a lot of Italian fighters, a lot of Irish fighters. Well, now, as the Italians, as the Jews, as the Irish assimilate in society, become successful, get businesses, the last thing you want your kid to do is be a prize fighter. So now that the parents have started their own grocery market and have three franchises and made a little money, no way. Kid's not getting in the ring anymore. No more Irish fighters, no more Italian fighters.
Only way you would do it is if you're down and out. It's your last chance to be successful in the world.
Yeah, even almost just as a culture, you know? And, you know, you hear about Mike Tyson and the broken family and growing up on the mean streets and all that stuff. Well, as we clean up the mean streets and as we create opportunities for people, we lose those fighters. Now, we have to export those fighters. So it's not that there's not some good heavyweights, white and black, but in general, the hungrier the nation and the hungrier the country, the better the fighter's going to be. And that's actually a good sign. Like when you're, whatever you are, black, Italian, Jewish, whatever you are, when your people stop fighting, it's no fun when you're at the bar watching the Jewish guy get his ass kicked, or you're just watching other nationalities go at it. Like we grew up just watching blacks and Mexicans go at it the whole time, because while Dave's a Jew, that was many years before he landed on this planet. You don't get the satisfaction of seeing, Irwin Schmegman beat the crap out of Sugar Ray Leonard. It's no fun. I mean, it is weird. You don't have a horse in the race. You're just watching, other cultures and other races go at it. Yeah, you still become a big Roberto Duran fan or big Sugar Ray Leonard fan, but you don't have one of your color horses in the Kentucky Derby, and it hasn't, and it's been a long time. But you should hope, as a culture, that your guys don't do that well fighting. And I would say this to all the brothers. This is a good sign. It's a good sign there's not a black heavyweight. There's about four or five top guys in the heavyweight division, and three or four of them are Russian guys. That's a good sign for this country and for the blacks. No greater more fitting tribute to the great Dr. Martin Luther King than not having a black heavyweight.
Well, that's why I love to watch NBA so much, is because it's a chance for me to watch my people.
That's right. All right. We need to take ourselves a break. When we come back, we're going to play the name game, something we stumbled on. Speaking of boxing.
Great jingle for you, Ace.
And oh, really?
Yes, the bit has a great jingle that you're really going to fall for.
Well, speaking of boxing, when we were talking about Reese Witherspoon a week or so ago getting divorced, I said no greater chasm between people with the same last name than Reese Witherspoon and former IBF heavyweight champ Tim Witherspoon from the late 80s, maybe early 90s in there. There's no, one guy's 6'4 and he's black as night, and the other is 5'3 and she's, fair as a newborn. So, white kid, that is. So, I thought, well, what? There's got to be other names, and you guys have come up with a few, and the message board has popped out a few, where there's no greater distance between two names.
Reggie Bush, running back for you formerly USC, and former First Lady Barbara Bush.
Huge chasm there.
Big disparity, right. But I would argue Witherspoon is so far unbeaten as far as disparities go.
Well, what you want to do is it's nice to go a little bit off the map. It's nice to have Reese Witherspoon, who everyone knows, and then Tim Witherspoon, who you have to hop on the internet and find a picture of, and then when you do, you're delighted. I like that kind of challenge. But I would argue Reggie Bush and Barbara Bush probably doesn't get much further apart than that either.
I guarantee you I've got your winner.
Oh, really?
And it beats that.
All right.
So hold on.
866-901-ADAM. We're going to do the name game after this.
It's the Adam Carolla Show. Call 866-901-ADAM to play the same name game. Think of two people with identical last names who in real life couldn't be further apart. 866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
There's a good Clash song that you never hear. We have to hear Should I Stay or Should I Go over and over and over again, but we can't hear the good Clash songs. Who decided that? I'm not going to go off on a jag on this, but who decided we needed to hear some of the worst offerings of really good bands and then hear it over and over and over again? There's a Clash song you'll never hear on the radio. Everyone I know would rather hear that than Rock the Casbah one more time, but no. Not going to happen. Why? Stupid people respond to repetition, and stupider programmers listen to stupid people. That's how it works.
Slowly you right the wrongs, though.
I feel if the one thing, thank you, the one positive thing I could say about Europe is I don't think they listen to stupid people. Here, we listen to stupid people. If one jackass throws a bottle out on the playing field from a stadium filled with 60,000 people, then we all get to drink out of plastic cups. That's the way it works. If one guy if one white trash mom lets her kid burn down the trailer because he got hold of the BIC and it didn't have the childproof thing on it, then all the responsible people have to use it. One F up like something bad or F's up, we all get it all taken away. That's the way this society works. I feel like in Europe, like I said, the one thing you can say about them is they throw the one guy out of the stadium and the rest of us get to enjoy our beers from glass bottles adults.
That specific example may not be your best considering that they have wild riots in the stands of the soccer
game. Hooligans, they call them.
I say so be it. It was a simpler time. All right, now we're going to do a little same name game.
Oh, you're going to love this.
Oh, this is fun.
Motherfuckers, suck it.
Wow.
I didn't expect that edgy. I thought it would be finger popping time.
No, I brought it.
Not eardrum popping time.
You raged.
Good stuff. All right, same name, but who could be further apart? Go ahead, Richard.
Drew Carey.
Mm-hmm.
And Harry Carey.
Well, it says up on the screen, Mariah Carey and Drew Carey, which seem further apart than Harry Carey and Drew Carey, because they're both guys who have a buzz cut, Harry Carey's dead, but they're both white guys who wear glasses.
Drew Carey's a younger version.
Okay.
Here's $10. Never call the show again.
He changed his mind between his good idea and then you picking up the phone?
Richard, how stoned are you?
Not too stoned yet.
Why did you go Harry Carey when you had Drew Carey and Mariah Carey on the...
screwed up.
All right, buddy.
Bye.
Listen, that brought it to a screeching halt. Yes. Let me just throw a couple
cleanse
out.
Cleanse the palate.
How about this? Hillary Clinton, George Clinton.
Yeah.
P-Funk.
See? Yeah, that's
very
solid.
Good.
Yeah, you don't get further apart
than
that.
I have a good one. Betsy Johnson and Randy Johnson.
Betsy Johnson, the dress designer.
Fashion designer and the pitcher.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah, she's kind of nutty looking. But nice when one is fat and the other skinny and one is black and one is white, though. At least they're both spindly. Sean P. Diddy Combs. Sean Combs and ex-Family Feud host Ray Combs.
That's nice.
Pretty far apart. Yeah.
Dave's got another one.
Oh, I've got many. How about this? Sandra Bullock. Jim J. Bullock.
I would say Keith Bullock, the linebacker for the Titans.
Wait, are we allowing phonetic same names that are spelled differently? Because then bring on Tip O'Neill and Shaquille O'Neal.
I was just about to go there.
How about Sandra O and Steve-O?
Wow. Mm.
Yeah, that's good. I got Martin Luther King and Larry King. Very basic, but very far apart.
I like
Buster Douglas, Mike Douglas.
Yeah, that's good. Buster Douglas, the guy who beat Tyson in Japan. Leland?
Patrick Ewing and J.R. Ewing.
Mm-hmm.
One's a fictional character, but I like it still.
There's no rules in the name game. That's pretty good. I'll tell you, I'm going to give out a prize to the winner. We got a pair of tickets to Guns N' Roses.
Thanks, man. All right.
Yeah, you didn't win, though.
Oh.
He's in the running.
You're in the running.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to throw your... one in the hopper.
Ace, keep in mind that I claim that I have one that is, I think, unbeatable.
I don't know that you can beat this next one, but you can try. Brent?
Colonel Sanders, Deion Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
That's sweet. Wow.
You don't get any wider than Colonel Sanders, and you do not get any. Deion Sanders is like five black guys.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's a spicy recipe.
If we can avoid the fried chicken thing, I'll be happy.
You just have to avoid... You have to avoid trying to think of or just picture thinking of Colonel Sanders returning punts.
Special teams you put him on?
Yeah.
That's a good way to play the game. Mm-hmm. Imagine the other guy in the profession doing that gig.
Yes, I like that.
Right. All right, Brent, that is solid this year. So let's talk to Jeff. Jeff?
How you doing, Adam?
Good.
I got Bo Jackson, a two-sport world-class athlete. And then I got Michael Jackson, a white pedophile.
Well, that's true.
That's a sport.
Yeah.
How about our 14th president, Andrew Jackson?
Mm-hmm.
And that makes 14th?
I don't know. Peggy?
Emmett Smith and Anna Nicole Smith.
Yeah, that's pretty solid.
And also newsworthy.
Newsworthy, both all over the news.
Exactly.
You're in the running. I'm just not sure if you can beat Colonel Sanders and Deion Sanders. Tony?
Yeah, I got Eddie Murphy.
Mm-hmm.
Brittany Murphy.
Yeah. See, that's good because he's very dark. She's very light. She's blonde and young. That's solid, too.
It's good. Both in entertainment, though.
Yeah, it's nice if they come from different worlds. Pete?
Hey, so I'm going to win the tickets because of the way I set this one up.
All right.
So you have to picture yourself effing these two people.
Having sex with the two people.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Pam Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
Louie Anderson.
Pam Anderson and Louie Anderson. You know, it's a weird thing. It's hard to quantify, but I think we all know it when we hear it.
Yes.
And that got sort of a resounding, okay.
Ace, I happen to know that the winner, the one that I claim is unbeatable, someone is thinking like I am on line one. But all save right. that one.
Though. I will. We have Cynthia Nixon and Richard Nixon.
Love that one.
That's good.
I got Mary Louise Parker, the actress, and former Pittsburgh Pirate Dave the Cobra Parker.
The Cobra
Parker. How do you like Ricky Henderson and Florence Henderson?
Man, that's strong. Sienna Miller, Larry Miller.
I like it.
Here you go. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Roseanne Barr.
Yeah, that's good. All right, well, let's go to number one. Let's go to line one, Dave.
This is a win.
This is the big one.
This
you
is
say.
Yours. And great minds think alike. Patrick?
Yeah, this is me.
What do you do for a living?
I'm a handyman, actually.
Wow. Great minds. You see that, Dave? He's making $12 an hour putting toasters back together. Go ahead, Patrick.
Okay, I've got former Adam Carolla show turncoat Rachel Perry and William the Refrigerator Perry.
Yeah.
Unbeatable.
Unbeatable.
That's excellent.
Physically.
That is very, very strong. Let's see. And the guy who had Colonel Sanders and Deion Sanders fell off. So, you know, that to me was between Colonel Sanders, Deion Sanders, Rachel Perry, Refrigerator Perry. I would have listened to both arguments, but we'll give it to you, Patrick. What do you say, buddy?
Cool. Is there anything I win out of this? Like a tote bag or something like that?
Yeah, you do. You're going to win a pair of tickets to see Guns N' Roses.
Oh, really?
Where are you calling from, Patrick?
Actually, I'm calling from Phoenix.
So these Guns N' Roses tickets, these are out here in Southern California.
Well, if you got a runner-up, go ahead and give them to them.
We got NBA 2K7 available for PlayStation and Xbox 360, and we also have Justice League Heroes, which is the video game. So we have a couple of good brand-new video games if you want those. If you're not into video games, you're going to have to be into driving.
Wait, in honor of Guns N' Roses, I've just thought of a new one. Hmm. Axl Rose and Broadway Danny Rose.
Yeah, it's good. Or Gypsy Rose Lee.
Close.
Yeah. Hey, also, just get the tickets and sell them on eBay.
Okay, well, I'll take the NBA 2K6 or 7. I'll take that.
Which one? You want the NBA?
Yeah, the Xbox 360 one.
All right. Hmm. We'll get that out to you immediately.
Okay.
You'll be playing it this afternoon.
I'm sure I will.
If you close your eyes.
Oh, hey, Abe.
Yeah.
When are you going to give out your cranberry sauce recipe?
I've been thinking about that each year. Hang on, Patrick. Each year I give out my cranberry sauce recipe somewhere around this time. I've been thinking about it, and I thought, well, we got next week. I think we'll do Thanksgiving is Thursday. Thanksgiving is 8 days away, something like that.
Yeah, we should maybe do it Monday when people go shopping for their fixins.
Yeah, all I'm saying, and I'm not going to get into the recipe or into the jag because that lasts about 45 minutes, but all I'm saying is you spend the entire day. I would argue there's no day of the year that involves more cooking than Thanksgiving, right? I mean, by a long shot, by tenfold. People do some cooking on Christmas, but that's not what the holiday's about. Thanksgiving, mom's in the kitchen for 7-8 hours. Turkey's in the oven, mixing, doing everything. It's the one day you don't cut corners. Everything's done by scratch, from scratch. As she's in there cooking away, the smells wafting through the house while the men watch football. What a day. And then at the very end of the ceremony, somebody fires up a can opener and gets the cranberry sauce out. I don't buy it. I want fresh cranberry sauce. I have fresh everything else. I don't want a can of turkey. I'm using the same logic. I don't want a can of cranberries. I even bring my own. I got to tell you, the Ace Man took a certain amount of heat at Cousin Vince and Pat's house in Santa Monica. And when I say house, I mean small, crappy apartment. A few years ago when I brought my own cranberry relish. I'm not a dog. I don't eat from a can on the most holiest of days, the day Christ rose from the ground. I don't eat cranberry sauce on that day. And it's all serrated. You know, it has the shape of the can. It's all gelatinous and everything. And then some of these people, just like we talk about, stupid people listening to bad music over and over again. I even have the folks that raise their hand and go, I like the canned stuff. You like the canned stuff because it was literally spoon-fed to you when you were a young stooge, and now you have a taste for bad. By the way, how can you like the fake version of better than the real version? Jimmy Kimmel's ex-wife always liked log cabin maple syrup, never liked the real authentic maple syrup, and it always made me angry. She liked Mrs. Butterworth better than the stuff you get from Trader Joe's that comes out of the side of a tree from Maine. And I was sort of like, how can you like the fake version of it? It's like the people that like margarine better than butter. There's something wrong with you people, and it's the same with cranberries. You people that like the canned stuff better than the fresh stuff are just retarded. It's not that you have a more evolved taste. All right, get me going.
Yeah, but you prefer to masturbate than have real sex.
Well, Dave.
I'm comfortable.
So let's go to break. We got to go to break.
We actually do have to go to break.
We do? Yeah. All right, well, I'll give the cranberry recipe out, and I'll tell you what else you can use the margarine for on Monday. T, we got the news coming up?
Do we, Bruska? I think we do. If I told you the name of O.J. Simpson's new book, you'd think it would be part of a comedy bit, but it's not, and I'll tell you all about it.
Kyle, our phone screener, has John Holmes and Katie Holmes.
I like that.
Oh, I got one for you.
Not that far apart. I'd like to see them a little closer together.
Former Chinese dictator, Chiang Kai-shek. And my mother, Mo Damashek.
I like Warren G. Harding and Tanya Harding.
Here's a good one. Busta Rhymes and Leanne Rhymes.
Oh, that's cute.
That's nice. All right, well, there you go. The name game, everybody. We'll be back with news and sports after this.
Here's what's coming up this morning on the Adam Carolla Show with program director Jack Silver.
What up, bitches? Time to raise the roof on this bad boy. We'll be talking to the Huffies Ash from True Romance. No, Patricia Arquette, not Christian Slater. I'm not gay. Also, Dave's jerk list. And we'll talk to heavyweight champ Vladimir Klitschko. Hey, maybe you can punch our punching machine. And by punching machine, I mean Dave Damashek. Late.
Thanks, Jack. Call 866-901-ADAM. Here's Adam. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, maybe my show, but it's now time for Teresa Strasser and her news.
Well, there was a powerful undersea earthquake off Japan early this morning. It looked like there were going to be big tsunami warnings. And then in the end, there are small waves, warnings still out, but not the concern that people were thinking it would be. Reports are varying. First, it was a magnitude 8.1. Now people are saying about a 7.8. The really horrible tsunami that you remember in Indonesia in 2004 was a 9.1. So this isn't all that much smaller, but fortunately not a lot of damage so far.
Yeah, you know the unfortunate part about how news works is the first big one, the catastrophic one, catches us off guard. So we're all a couple days late on that, catching up with that. Not so exciting because you don't see it coming. Then the ones that happen after that are nothing but tremors. There's no tsunami, but we have to hear about it for a week. See, I would rather it be the other way around. I'd rather hear about the one with the big payoff and not hear about the one that doesn't have the big payoff. Apparently, there's not much going on. And I grew up watching monster movies, and just about every third earthquake at sea released Rodan or Godzilla or Mothra. These earthquakes at sea, they used to really... I held out such high hope for them when I was a kid. What happened? Why is there an 80-foot lizard in Hong Kong? Earthquake at sea. Oh, okay. Earthquake at sea was enough to explain anything. It was the sea version of radiation. How the hell did that guy get superpowers? Radiation? Oh! the hell that catfish get 70 feet long? Earthquake at sea. Oh! It was a scientific explanation when you were a kid. Now we get nothing but a couple of swamped fishing villages. It's really boring.
Well, when it comes to explanations...
And don't get me started on radiation.
I won't.
Whole Chernobyl thing, it didn't pan out at all. At all.
Well, here's something that is panning out. O.J. Simpson's new book. I am not kidding when I tell you it is called O.J. Simpson, If I Did It, Here's How It Happened. That is the name of his book, published by Judith Regan. He's also being interviewed on Fox. It's a two-day special, November 27th and 29th, where he's going to discuss in two-hour-long segments, you know, how it would have happened if it had happened, which, of course, he's denying it ever happened still.
I still say this. I know he's probably hurting for cash. I don't know how the legal system works if the Goldman family gets whatever he makes, but I say pay-per-view with our guy from the No Lie MRI department, Mr. Personality John, over there administering that baby. It's a big pay-per-view. It's not really admissible in court. Big pay-per-view lie detector for OJ. I mean, first off, everyone would be outraged. People would be buzzing about it. It would be the topic of every late-night show and every Larry King-type show and every talk show. And we'd do it a month later, and it would break all the records for this. And all you'd have to do is offer OJ $10 million. The No Lie MRI guy could get $500, and that'd be that.
Well, I feel like Ron Goldman should get some money. He won in civil court. He hasn't gotten a dime. I don't know if he's going to get any money from this book, but you hope he does since he lost his son. Fred Goldman lost his son, Ron Goldman.
Right.
I don't know what the laws are. If you've been tried, and obviously he lost in civil court, but in criminal court, OJ lost. If there's new evidence, I don't know if you can reopen a case or if that's double jeopardy. I don't know how that works.
I'm not even sure how new evidence works. By the way, wasn't there enough old evidence? We didn't have his DNA all over the steak knife and stuff. We just had retards in the juror's box. By the way, when I get irate about my idea of taking a lie detector test and replacing all the jurors, isn't all we needed to know or all we need to see about this OJ's jury? OJ's jury who was confused by DNA science, thus the major thrust of the case fell on deaf ears because they have essentially 12... big tads out in the audience who are thinking about eating steak and cheese burritos instead of focusing on DNA. That's what you have. That's what you got. Let's just use the lie detector.
A jury of our peers or a lie detector?
Do we have a lie detector? Well, all I'm saying is, do we have a group of lay people really deciding anything important? Do you want my mom and her friends out on the court watching an NBA game officiating or out officiating Major League? You know, I don't know. I've never been. Yes, they're human beings. Yes, they live on this planet. That's about the only thing they had in common with OJ other than hating Whitey. Other than that, they share no mutual interest. And, of course, the lie detector would be smarter for this. Who do you know that knows anything about law? And most people believe in fairies and aliens, all right? I mean, look, whenever they do these cockamamie surveys and figure out who believes in fairies and aliens, it's always a scary percentage. 70% of Americans believe in fairies or aliens or both. So if you have 12 people in the jurors box, 8.5 of them are believing in fairies and aliens. These are the people you want deciding the outcome of murder cases?
Was there a unicorn at the residence when this happened?
Yeah, I know. She was stabbed by his horn. Angry centaur.
Still to me, I know this is 10 years late, but still nothing better to me about that whole case than he had his best friend held at gunpoint. He had a wad of loot. And he had a disguise, and they were heading to Mexico. And the excuse was, well, you don't know how you'd react if your wife just got murdered.
If you came home and young bride Cindy was dead, you don't know how you would react.
Well,
you may have me pick you up and take you to Mexico, the Richard Nixon mask.
Dave, how would you react if you were not invited to the Tomcat wedding?
Yeah, I don't know how I'd react. I would get a wig and $10,000.
Well, listen, Oprah Winfrey was not invited. The wedding, of course, reportedly taking place in Rome this Saturday. Now, Oprah and Tom Cruise have a history because it was her couch that he was jumping on when he began to lose his mind or when he fired his actual publicist and hired his sister, one or the other. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Oprah was asked how she felt about not being invited to the wedding. I don't know. I'll let you guys interpret. Here's her on, first I'll play you her on ET, then on Extra. Mm. I'm not invited. I'm not going to the wedding, but I will send my greetings. Yes, I will send my greetings. And what do you give Tom Cruise? And here she is again.
Mm. I'm sure they had a limited number of people that they could invite. It's fine. I don't get invited to everybody's wedding, but I wish them the best.
I just get obsessed with the tech music that pumps behind every interview white America listens to now as they sit down in front of their Salisbury steak TV dinners and their fat asses. They all love techno music. We love it.
Well, I should also mention about this Tomcat wedding. Thank you. This makes me feel more like delivering the news.
I really would like to find the person that... I'd like to find the first guy that slid the first piece of techno music underneath the first crappy lightweight celebrity interview and strangle the life out of him.
Let me see if I can do it in the way it's intended. Katie Holmes went to naughty lingerie store La Brea Lingerie in West Hollywood. Ooh. She spent $3,000 on naughty underthings.
It's close to dropping trout. What else is going on? We got some traffic and weather coming up. Hey, this just in. 86 degrees in Northridge. Tustin checking in at 86. Alhambra, 86. Van Nuys, 86 degrees. Northridge, 86. Simi Valley, La Crescenta, 86 degrees. And in West Los Angeles, Van Nuys. In El Centro, it is 86 degrees. We got traffic coming up at the top of the hour. Slow and go on the 405. Look out for brake lights on the 101 at the 4-Change Exchange. Watch out, there's a mattress in the lane, so look out for that. Slow commute to work today in Southern California. Let's get back to you, T. What else going on in the news?
Naomi Campbell in trouble again.
Hold on, this just in. Arlita, 86 degrees. Checking in. Alhambra, 86 degrees. Irvine, 86 degrees. So watch out, slow and go on the 405. Watch out for that commute and work, boys. It's going to take you a little bit longer to get to work today. Watch out, that's commute. Slow and go. Look out for brake lights. Look out at commute.
Ryan, can you turn this off? It's hurting me. Deeply.
Oh. The greatest achievement of my... new life in morning radio is getting rid of the traffic from the L.A. radio station.
Remember when we used to have traffic?
Yeah. How's it working for you guys out there in L.A.? Y'all just crashing into things now? What do you do? Climb into your car, just put it in drive and plow into the garage door now that you don't have somebody going, slow and go on the 405. Look out for brake lights.
By the way, Adam, you wished our traffic girl to the cornfield.
Good.
She's never come back.
Look, everybody, I don't want to get in trouble with affiliates, but this is non-information for stupid people. You don't need to know what the traffic is because you don't alter your route. If you altered your route, then you need to know what it was, but you never do. You just feel it. It's soothing when you hear about what's going on the four-level exchange or the Slauson cutoff. Please. It's just another excuse to get in some advertising.
Well, I'm going to end on this briefly because you need to know what's going on with Naomi Campbell.
Yeah.
She's in court today because of one former maid suing her. And at the same time, another former maid is accusing her of being a, of calling her a...
CNN?
She said, Romanians are not usually as dumb as you. And then she said, you are not in the third world any more stupid. Uh-huh. And then she said, when will you learn English? So Naomi's in Manhattan today facing charges from this former maid who she threw the phone at the back of her head back in March, you may remember, because she accused her of stealing a pair of jeans. And now this Romanian woman's coming out and saying that Naomi is a violent super bigot.
Please refrain from using ethnic slurs.
And again, this one is accused of stealing a pair of Naomi's Stella McCartney jeans.
Mm. Super bigot be a good band name.
Violent super bigot.
Yeah.
What kind of music?
It's techno. Plays behind the entertainment news.
Well, I'll go out on this tune from Violent Super Bigot. I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
Hey, Sexy and Sassy Eva Longoria looked hot in her hot pants at a fundraiser for lupus research last night.
Out of here or what?
All right, enough of that nonsense. Hey, a real treat for Corolla coming up a little later.
heavyweight champion. Vladimir Klitschko will be joining us. Let me give you a sample of how he spent his weekend. He did it, what he was doing to his opponent, Calvin Brock.
Oh, there it goes. He made it at the end where he got him with that. That was a fun right hand taken on the jaw. It's up to 5, 6, 7.
Do you know that 3 out of the 4 heavyweight champions are Russian? It's amazing, and I'm looking forward to talking to
It was 4 out of 4 until Shannon Briggs beat a Russian guy a couple of weeks ago, too, and barely. I mean, it could have been 4 out of 4. I'm telling you, they're hungrier than we are, people. Hey, wake up, black people. Let's go now. Wow. You guys aren't hungry enough anymore. And let me tell you, the Jews, forget about it. Us Italians, not going to happen anymore. You're our last shot. Let's go. Let's have some pride.
Well, that's because we don't have role models like the Russians did. Of course, anyone with a sense of history remembers, of course, these guys were inspired by the deeds of one Ivan Drago. You remember what he did. He fought former heavyweight champ Apollo Creed and was supposed to just be an exhibition. But then he felled Apollo in the ring under the watchful eye of Rocky Balboa. And then to add this, listen to what he says. Listen to what Drago said right as Creed, as doctors were tending to him.
If he dies, he dies.
Heartless. And then he got into the ring with Balboa in Russia on Christmas Day.
I must break you.
He was cold. Thank goodness. I don't think I have to tell any sports fan that, of course, Balboa.
He ended up winning over the Russian, the partisan Russian crowd as well.
And he said to the Russian crowd, if I can change and you can change, we all can change. And there was not a dry eye.
Paved the way for Glasnost.
Yes, that's right.
Exactly right. Hey, there's a lot of talk lately about gunplay in the NBA and the NFL. There's conjecture. One unnamed source within the NBA says that as many as 90% of NBA players have guns, carry guns. David Stern, the commissioner of the NBA, has encouraged his players to not leave the house with their guns, which is ridiculous. Many NFLers have guns. But it's not, the focus is just on these two sports, but really it's a sports worldwide problem. Matter of fact, and this isn't, I'm not making this up, in golf there was a tournament this past weekend called the Merrill Lynch Shootout.
Oh, wow.
That's outrageous. Yeah,
especially if you have kids listening.
Take a listen to the 18th and final hole last Sunday. Here's Vern Lundquist with the call.
And he's picked out a landing spot that is a good 25 feet above the hole. Well, here it comes. Goodness.
Vern got a boner? What was that?
What?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. In your life, have you seen anything like that?
That's good stuff.
17 golfers.
Wow. Dead.
Three woods and 2 golf balls lost their lives.
I have to say this. The people that go to the golf tournament and see some fat guy who makes 70 times as much as they do, and when the 18-foot putt starts nearing the hole and they start screaming, come on, come on, it's got a chance. Come on, go, hit a house. Really? You got nothing on the line except for seeing a rich guy get richer. There's a guy who lives literally a country club existence who's going to get an extra couple $100,000 in his pocket while you slink home in your tours to your crappy house. How badly do you need that ball to fall into the cup, and why are you screaming at it? That's all I got to say.
Yeah, my old man is a humongous Tiger Woods fan. You know, like, I understand the allegiance to the Steelers. Obviously, we're from Pittsburgh, but the love of Tiger Woods, Coblin Asian from Northern California.
That's the other thing about golf, which you don't hear about. In football, you're stuck. If you live out in Arizona, you're a Cardinals fan. Too bad. If you live out in San Francisco, you have your great years with the Niners, and then you have your down years with the Niners. If you're a golf fan, whoever the phenom is, that comes around every few years, you just hook your wagon to his team. Oh, big tight. No, I'm a Vijay Singh fan. Oh, now I'm a Tiger Woods fan. Oh, I love this young Asian chick. I'm a big fan. It's like, yeah, of course. It's pretty easy. You just be the fan of whoever's winning the most Ryder Cups and the most tours, and then you'll always be a winner. All right.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
I agree with that. I say in golf, you should be forced to sort of declare a major and then ride that guy into the ground. I don't care if he's 6 years off the tour, he's thrown off because of a problem with alcohol and pills. You still have to be a fan of that guy.
Why did I pick Duffy Waldorf back in 1983?
All right, we'll take ourselves a break. When we come back, Patricia Arquette from Medium. We'll talk to the Foxy Patricia after this.
Patricia Arquette on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, we're waiting for Patricia to come on the line. While we're waiting for that, we can give you a little heads up on what's coming up on the show. Dave's jerk list, the always much anticipated jerk list. My favorite time of the week. People have a favorite time of the year. I have a favorite time of the week. That's Dave's jerk list.
Lucky you.
That's when I just lay back, draw a nice warm bath, and say, Calgon, take me away. Dave's jerk list.
As long as you mute the sass, Carolla, you're in the clear. You can just sit back and be a spectator. Although, listen, I appreciate you just being a spectator enjoying, but even better, you want to give me some nominations, I'm more than happy to consider them.
Well, I do think about it every once in a while. I have, for instance, I was thinking the other day, we'll have Patricia Arquette on here in about 2 minutes. I was thinking the other day about letters. I was thinking more eclectically about your jerk list, mm-hmm. and I thought, well, the large uppercase R, that's nice, and then the small R, that's very much different. It turned out I was watching TV, and I saw an O, and I thought, is that a large O, or is that a small O? And then I thought, I don't know. They're the same shape. I thought, what a cop-out. The small version is the same shape as the big version. Then I thought, oh, you know who you ought to hang out? You ought to hang out with your cousin Q. Because Q has a large version, and a small version, and they're nothing alike. I thought, that's an ambitious letter. Q, R's kind of nice. T slides the bar down a little, but not much difference. And then there are letters, like we talked about, like O, and there's a handful of other ones, like P and stuff, which it's a slightly larger version of the same. Look, if you're designing letters, that is a cop-out. You're going, hey, what should we make the big version of? What should we make that look like? Let's make it 30% bigger.
S, we'll just make a bigger S.
Yeah, but no, but they do have, then you have the handwriting version cursive. Of the S, the cursive S. But I'm just saying, Q, that mm-hmm. is the role model for all letters.
Ace, listen, do you remember the letter of the year award this past year?
How could I forget?
Q was the letter of the year. Because, as you just said, you took the words out of my mouth. Ambitious is what that letter is. When you think of Q, you think, oh, it must reside with W, X, Y, and Z.
Mm-mm.
No.
Mm-mm.
It's a head.
Okay, time has passed.
Well, Patricia Arquette's on the phone, Dave.
Let's hear what she thinks.
Hey, what the hell are you people talking about?
Well, I was just saying, Patricia, how, you know, in letters, uppercase and lowercase are different in some letters and then the same in others. Like Q is very ambitious, very different, whereas O, it's just a bigger O.
But, you know, I think S is the best example of the sound.
Oh, you're focusing on the sound. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. S, you know, it's one of the letters where if you just put 12 of them together, you will go perfect.
Exactly.
Sounds like air coming out of the tire of your turbo Porsche. Last time I saw Patricia, she was driving a turbo Porsche. And I was angry because she had a hamper in the back of it filled with dirty laundry.
It's hard. Hard to be me.
What are you driving these days?
I have a Prius.
Oh, really? Nice.
Oh.
You are you concerned about the environment?
Well, I also have a Jaguar.
Oh, nice.
There's my conflict.
Yeah, I got one too.
I am concerned about the environment.
Right. 2 days a week, but the other 5 days, you want to kick the crap out of Mother Nature and the Jag V8 power. So Medium doing quite nicely for you, yes, Patricia?
Yeah, we're very fortunate.
Tonight is the big 2-hour season premiere, 9 o'clock on NBC. So what's up with you romantically? Are you dating? Are you married? What's going on?
I'm married. I got married in June.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thomas Jane.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and he actually is in this 2-hour opener. He did me a favor, and he plays an old boyfriend of mine. Comes and hangs out.
Do you believe in
our house.
Do you believe in ghosts yourself?
Yeah, I mean, I don't believe you see them all the time, and I don't believe everyone who says they see them.
Right. But you do believe in them.
Yeah, I mean, we all die. Mm-hmm. And we're this mass of energy.
Hold on, I'm writing this down.
And Einstein said you can't destroy energy, so...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so maybe there's some little hologram type of...
But it's not quite... Is it? Are you into reincarnation?
I'm not really into anything. I just... I don't know. I mean, I don't pretend to know anything because... I'm not dead, and I can't say for certain what happens when you die.
Would you say that you're the sanest of the Arquettes?
You know what? I would say entertainment is a great thing.
Mm-hmm.
But all of us are actually really pretty sane.
Oh, really?
Even
Alexis?
Yes. Alexis has taught me a lot about acceptance. I mean, growing up, you never think... you're going to have a sibling that's going to be transsexual.
Mm-hmm.
But you grow up, you
have... I think my sister may have had a hunch, to be fair to her, but it didn't pay off the way she thought. Yes.
Well,
you don't think that, right.
You love them, and you grow up, and mm-hmm. and then when they start telling you who they really are, even from... I remember me and Alexis lining up in kindergarten,
mm-hmm.
in first grade. We were in the same class. And they'd say, girls, line up over here, and Alexis would inevitably always go in that line.
So this was something that was showing itself very early.
This has been a whole lifetime of me getting in fights with people on the bus because they're calling Alexis names. Mm-hmm. Me, you know, protecting someone who I knew to be so sweet and wonderful. It's really hard to live in a world where people think that's funny or they just make fun of you. And having to talk to Alexis about it, it's like, well, what is it about? Is it, who cares what you look like?
But
isn't that just kind of a container? Does it matter if you're man or woman?
Well,
what is it to be a human?
I don't want to be a fly in your ointment, but I feel like with a lot of folks that say, who cares what you look like, I feel like they're working overtime to get my attention. I feel like they get on my radar, and then there's trouble. Of course, I don't do anything about it, but what I mean is if you're one of these kids that wears eyeliner and dresses goth, that's when you get on the jock's radar as opposed to just staying off of it. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but it, to ask somebody something like that, to not be who they are. Okay, if I took you and I put you in a Ku Klux Klan outfit,
mm-hmm.
and I told you, you can never take that off, ever.
Right.
Now, everyone in the world who looks at you is going to identify you with that you're not, and respond to you as something you're not your
right.
whole life.
But now, you didn't put me in it. I put me in it, and then I asked them not to respond to it.
No, if someone's in a male body and they don't think they belong in that male body, they were
mm-hmm.
put in that
mm-hmm.
body. And you know what? Who cares, really?
All right.
Why is it something that someone should be able to, you know, discriminate? Those people get beat up all the time, killed, murdered,
mm-hmm.
you know, raped, put in different, like, prison areas.
Right. Well, then, look, it's definitely, here's the way humans work. We'll leave you alone as long as you blend in, and if you pop or stand out, you might get on our ass-kicking list. That's kind of the way humans work.
It's not a healthy thing.
It's sad.
The time where, as human beings, we made blacks ride in the back of the bus and drink from different fountains, but it's a process of evolution of understanding each other and not mm-hmm. judging each other as much. I mean, I've asked Alexis, well, is this a sexual thing? Is this a, what is this thing exactly? You know, mm-hmm. we've had a whole long conversations, and Alexis, like, it really has nothing to do with sex. People look at you when you're dressed up a certain way and they think it's some kind of, you know, to be attractive, to whatever it is, but to look like you think you're supposed to look
mm-hmm.
for mates or something. And Alexis is like, it has nothing to do with sex at all. If people could just remove the sex aspect. I mean, I've asked him so many questions like, well, what
I would have no questions, by the way. First sibling that did this.
I like that little Patricia.
I really wouldn't.
I like that she stuck up for her brother and beat up the other kids.
Patricia Arquette's on the line from Medium tonight. Tonight's big 2-hour season premiere, and hubby Thomas Jane is going to be appearing in it as well.
An old boyfriend, yep. And we have all these different stories in it. It's four different dreams, and our daughter, Bridget, is having dreams of the crime, which are in cartoon form.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to be watching. So it's actually an animated sequence within the two-hour special.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Now, are you set for life? Do you have to work? Do you like to work? How does it work?
Well, it depends what kind of how you want to live your life. I mean, I'm sure you're set for life, too, if you want to sell your house and live in an apartment.
Yeah. I mean, oh.
Set for life.
I mean, okay. Touché.
So, yeah, I mean.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But no, I mean.
You have to work.
I guess I do. Well, I don't really if I want to change my lifestyle.
Right, but you don't. You end up getting accustomed to a certain lifestyle. You get a monthly nut that's bigger than you ever could have imagined when you were struggling, whatever. And then you have to sort of keep up with it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So you've given up the turbo Porsche for a Prius. I found this out yesterday. I didn't know that your grandfather was Charlie Weaver from the Hollywood Squares.
Yeah.
Cliff Arquette. I had no idea. Is that something that a lot of people know, or did I just find out about it yesterday? I mean,
I'd say a fair amount of people know, yeah.
Mm-hmm. When did he pass away?
I think in 76 or 78, something like that.
Oh, was that long ago? Because it seemed like he was on Hollywood Squares almost until the point he passed away.
He was on, and then he had a stroke, and then he went back on. And then I'm not sure how much time passed before he.
I gotta tell you, if there was an award for the most eclectic family, I'd say the Arquettes would probably take it home.
Well, our great grandparents were in vaudeville too, so we've had every generation has acted.
Mm-hmm. And do you have kids yourself?
Yeah, I do. I have a 17-year-old son and a 3-year-old daughter.
Wow, that's range. Is one with Nick Cage, or you didn't have any with Nick Cage?
No, we didn't have any kids.
So you have a 17-year-old. Are you going to encourage... He's the son, right?
Yeah.
Would you encourage him to get into show business and keep the Arquette name going out there?
No, I'd never encourage anyone to go into show business because it's a real, you know, crapshoot. You're not sure if you'll get work or not. And
it's worked out for all the Arquettes, though.
I know. I wonder if she's had any tough times where she wasn't working.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's a really fickle business.
And March, 2 years ago.
Stop. 2 weeks of March.
2 weeks of March. It's fickle, but you started working early and often, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
I've worked a lot.
How old were you when you did True Romance, for instance?
Let's see. Enzo, my son, was the little baby at the end, Elvis, our son on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
But he was about 2 then, so I was probably 21.
Mm-hmm. Enzo? Your son's name Enzo?
Yeah.
I like that. Named him after the Ferrari guy.
No, he was named after the baker in The Godfather.
No.
The baker's son.
Look, here's how it works.
Okay.
You can tell me until you're blue in the face why you named your son. I'll always know it was after Enzo Ferrari because he's a bigger name than the Godfather son. You know, I have a son that was named after a Godfather character. Santino.
Oh, I have a little Santino friend, and that was on our list.
Let's have a play date.
Spaghetti.
You can explain to young Santino how you thought about naming him Santino, but decided not to.
Okay, I'm sure Santino.
Well, when Enzo's 17,
another special Santino was coming along.
Oh, I'm going to name my next kid Hugo. Little Enzo and Santino, the Paisans. Although Enzo's old now, right? 17, right?
Yeah.
All right, but we can have a play date with your daughter. What's your daughter's name?
Harlow.
It'd say
like Jean Harlow.
Oh, Harlow. Mm. Harlow and Santino. They make a nice couple.
Why not?
Huh? Yeah, she's very smart.
Hmm.
You know,
Santino doesn't like smart ladies.
He's only 5 months old. How do you know?
He's a Corolla. He doesn't want to be challenged. You know what I mean? Emotionally. He likes a physical challenge. Hold still. But not
I'll
emotional.
Wrestle him to the ground.
Not an emotional one. All right, Patricia. We'll be watching tonight. And please drag yourself into the studio whenever you can. Love to see you in person.
Yeah, come by and say hi.
And
yeah.
bring your hubby, Thomas Jane. I didn't know you married him.
The Punisher.
The Punisher.
Right.
It's a good-looking man.
He is. When he was on the set, you know, I was just like, God, he's a fox.
Yeah.
Look at that foxy man.
Strong chin on that, Thomas Jane. Very strong chin.
Easy on the eyes.
Yeah. Now, are you guys going to have kids? Is the youngest...
Yeah.
Is this
our
one?
Our daughter Harlow is our kid.
Oh, I'm definitely going to set Harlow up with Sonny then. He's a foxy man. You know, there's certain guys that are good looking, but you're not sure if they would make a good looking female. He's not one of them. He would make a beautiful blonde female, and of course, you're already there. It's already done. It's done. Play date.
It's a done deal.
2037, they get together. And she steals Sonny's virginity.
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
Put it on the calendar.
Okay.
If, in fact, you have one that goes ahead 15 years. All right, Patricia. Good speaking to you.
Thanks for having me.
Medium tonight. 2-hour season premiere, 9 o'clock, NBC.
It's a great show.
Yeah.
Huge hit.
Yeah.
By the way, her little daughter's name, Harlow, that's a great name for a girl. Maybe, Dave, you should think about past movie stars for your little girl who's coming.
Well, now that we know, I held off on coming up with baby names until we knew the sex. But now the wheels are spinning. I'll take suggestions, too, from callers.
The thing that's funny is I was thinking about this yesterday. I was thinking about hearing the news that your young child is, in fact, a girl. And we've had, Dave and I have had no less than 3,000 conversations on what we would name our kid. It was hypothetical. When I have a kid, but as a guy, you're so short-sighted, they're all dude names. I'm going to name my kid Buster. I'm going to name him Sport or Boxer or Felicicist. You know, like phallus, but it'll be different. It'll sound great. It'll be awesome. And then you find out, oh, yes, you have a 50-50 chance of getting a young girl. Actually, a marginally higher chance of getting a young girl. We sat around and discussed male names for the first 6 years we knew each other. Never once did a female's name enter into our lexicon. And now I just think about all the... And it's funny, it was never even considered... It was like a non-option. It was as if somebody just said, well, this is impossible to give birth to a female. So every conversation would be, I'm going to name him Duke. Duke is a good, strong name for a kid. No one messes with Duke.
And it's then your porn name.
Some other guy would chime in and you know, name him Hank. That's a throwback name. Never thought it could be a girl.
No, I mean, one of the front runners for me were it a boy, it was always the Denzel Washington character in Devil in a Blue Dress. His name is Zeke, and when he goes around, but his buddies call him Easy. And
Easy.
Now, Easy Damashek is no name for a girl.
Right.
No, but no. Have you thought of, what are your front runners, or can you tell us?
Right now, it's still in the beginning stages. I'm not ready yet to start announcing that.
No greater slap in the face, though, as a parent, as Patricia Arquette just did to the Ace Man, when you go, hey, I named my kid this, and they go, yeah, we thought about that, but...
Passed.
So what, it was Sonny? What should I call him, Sloppy Seconds now? You got the name the Arquette kid didn't want. Here you go. It's a hand-me-down name. We'll take ourselves a break. We have a news-driven caller segment coming up. T?
Yes, a couple was fooling around on a Southwest airline pretty heavily. I mean, it was way more than heavy petting.
Southwest.
Shocking.
It's a bad airline to mess around on because everything is coach and they have those seats that face each other and there's no first class, there's no curtains, there's no anything.
Beyond that, it was heading for Raleigh, North Carolina.
Mm.
So no telling what kind of folks were on there.
They were screwing around on the plane.
Not in the bathroom, right on the plane. And the flight attendant asked them to stop. They went back and did it. They were arrested and they got charged with a federal charge, actually. Same thing that shoe bomber got hit with. So they're in a little bit of trouble.
Are we not advanced enough as a civilization to figure out the differences in acts on an airplane? Me picking up a butter knife and threatening to take over the plane is no different than me trying to rub one out in the men's room. It's just, hey, man, you violated federal law X1-9, and you'll be treated exactly the same. There's not enough. We don't have the nuance in the law. It seems like every time someone talks about a law, there's a book as thick as a phone book filled with laws. We can't figure this one out. Everyone, I feel like there's a lot of this. Like, hey, man, I don't care if you threw a grenade or a kumquat. It is exactly the same in the eyes of the law. Like, really? How about we work that out? It'll be a lot faster for the guys who throw the kumquats, and the guys who toss the grenades can actually get a little more time. All right, we'll take a quick break. The question is where have you done it? Have you been in the Mile High Club? I personally have not. I have not done that. I don't like that. I find it to be distracting, but we'll get into that. We'll find out, T.
I'll say that much.
Oh, shocker. Well, what can't she do on a mode of transportation, ladies and gentlemen? The whole orgy on a Europass a few years ago.
This took place in a short span in my 20s. Things are different now.
We'll take a quick break. 866-901-ADAM. Tell us your stories about sex on the road after this.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show. Are you in the Mile High Club? Call 866-901-ADAM because we want to hear your story. Here's Adam. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, we have folks that did it in the bathroom, a strip club, tanning bed, children's bounce house. How'd you like to be the Christian couple that rented that baby for the next weekend party? Holy Christ, someone spilled a milkshake in here, honey. That's all right. We got a break on it.
Tapioca.
Children's bounce house. Look, I'm not a religious man, but I do believe everyone has a life reel. And at a certain point, it's time for you to review it in front of somebody. And you don't want to see you pounding the bejesus out of the old lady in the children's bounce house. Retarded kid bouncing around next to you. Can't escape because of the motion. It's in there like, it's like it gets put in the popcorn machine. All right, Teresa, you have your own Mile High Club story. This is based on a story Southwest Airlines. Flying to, was it North Carolina?
Yeah, they were headed off to Raleigh, North Carolina, a couple from California. And according to court documents, this couple's name was Carl and Don. And Carl was observed with his face pressed against Don's lower body.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure what that means, but it made the flight attendant very upset. And she asked them to stop. They said no. And now they're in a lot of trouble.
Idea. They must have been inebriated. The idea that you get busted and you go back to the well one more time.
Well, it is weird. And the thing in my experience, when I was very young, 3 years ago in my early 20s, this was my first boyfriend and we'd been together, you know, and the only guy I'd been with. And so I just thought, well, you know, let's just try everything because you never know. And so we were... But nothing like this dirty, but I think it was inappropriate. And the stewardess actually suggested, can you go in the bathroom?
Wow.
Yes.
Well, first, this observation. It's not, you know, people always think it's who you're dating. It's not who you're dating. It's when you're dating that person. You can catch somebody at the very beginning who are like, oh, I don't think, no, I don't, I would never do that. Then you can catch people at the end of their sexual career, been there, done that, didn't like it, it hurt. I didn't have a solid...
I was arrested.
Didn't have a solid BM for 2 months.
Yes,
you catch him at the end of the, sorry, not going to do that one again. You got to catch him right in the middle where they're like, yep, I got a long sexual punch list and I'm looking for a dance partner. I got some stuff I need to check off the list. I got the Mile High Club I want to toss in the pail.
That's
I got all
felt.
Kinds of stuff I got to do and you're just the guy I want to do it
yes,
with.
Yes, and he was 8 years older. I think when this happened on the plane, I might have been 21.
Yeah, I used to catch a lot of women that were like alcoholics that are in the 12-step program, which is, oh, that was the old me. I've given that up.
Well, get the old you back.
I hung up my humping shoes a long time ago, mister. And then they torture you with this. You should have got to me about 2 years ago.
I would have done anything.
First date, you and your dad.
Well, I was innocent and naive. This was my only boyfriend. Mm-hmm. But I was adventurous, and I thought, why not? And then they asked us to go to the bathroom.
Well, where were you flying?
It was a cross-country flight. 5 hours back east from San Francisco, where I grew up, to
Hershey, Pennsylvania.
It wasn't that kind of a flight.
All right.
But thank you.
All right, so you're making...
I can only hope my dad's listening right now.
And what are you doing? You're making out in the seat?
There was a blanket. Mm-hmm. We thought we were being coy.
Discreet.
Yeah.
And do you think somebody ratted you out?
Yep. We got the stink eye from the lady across the aisle. I think she ratted us out to the stewardess.
Again, I was asking people who decide to have neighbors' cars towed and who decide to call the cops on parties that, you know, before 10 p.m. and things like that, to put a gun in their mouth and blow their heads off. You people that are ratting out people for getting a little diddly on the plane need to do the same. Because, yes, it's not the stewardess. In coach, you can barely get the chick to drop off some nuts once every 4 hours. She's not going to discover you doing anything. It's going to be some old Betty who's in the seat behind you who's going to get on the blower and call the... What do they care? Just read your magazine or take a nap.
That was probably inappropriate, but then we were ushered to the bathroom.
How did that work? What did she say to you?
She basically said to the guy, because he was basically an adult and I was sort of a child. I mean, if we were... I think we might have been 20 and 28 or something. Mm-hmm. She spoke to him, mm-hmm. and she said, listen, yeah, if you're going to do that, if you're going to do that, at least go in the bathroom. So we did.
You did. Because, yeah. See, to me, that's one of those things where the PE coach or your counselor or your mom or your dad yell, hey, 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 knock it off. You want roughhousing, you take it outside, in which case you never take it outside. But you guys actually took it outside.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You both walked into the bathroom and proceeded to get down.
We staggered it, so it didn't look too obvious.
Oh, I see.
He said, meet me back there in 5 minutes. This is so embarrassing. And I'll tell you one thing, those bathrooms are small and poorly lit.
Yeah.
You got to stand.
Yeah.
And there's some dispensable soap that you're going to hit, mm-hmm. you know, going right. to make an indentation
in
your
back. I know, you still wear the scarf from the soft soap dispenser.
It's hard to explain that to my new boyfriends if I had any.
Right.
How I got that.
All right. We also have Dawson, our production man extraordinaire, Dawson. Dawson, also in the Mile High Club, yes?
Yes. Morning, Ace.
Good morning, Teresa.
Good morning.
All right.
Yeah, flight to New York City last year to go see the Black Crowes, mm-hmm. a good friend of mine who...
Last year, you say?
Yeah, last year. Mm-hmm. When I think it was last year. It was when the Crowes first reunited after their breakup.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, my friend who I just... We have this on again, off again, just physical.
What's his name?
What's his name? Yeah. Wow, Damashek physically out of the room after that Weisenheimer remark.
Good times.
That's my favorite thing.
Good stuff.
Dave does.
I know, because Dave leaves the room.
Not that part.
And then becomes your least favorite when he comes back into the room.
Is he gone for good? Oh, damn it.
So here he comes. You and your female friend,
yes.
on the way to see the Black Crowes.
Yeah, she called me up and said, hey, what's your flight? I think we should get on the same plane and do the Mile High thing. Mm. And very much like Teresa's story, she goes into the bathroom first, and I met her in there like 3 minutes later. A very, very small room, really uncomfortable, pretty difficult to actually make this happen. But the best part of the story is when we're all finished, we come back to our seats, and a flight attendant, this dude, comes up to us.
We're all finished means when you're finished.
Right.
Because I've done the Mile
right,
High
exactly.
math.
Exactly.
All right, we're done, baby.
Yeah. Gotta get out of here.
She barely got started. When we're both finished.
The captain has turned on the no enjoyment for you sign.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Please fasten your pants and head back to your seat.
Well, the flight attendant comes up to us, and he's got this look in his face, and at first, we know we're caught. We know we're caught, but we think we're in trouble. He's got this really bad look on his face, and he says something like, I know what you guys did in the bathroom, and here. He hands us a bottle of champagne.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
In coach.
In coach. It was that airline that lets you watch DirecTV. So they were very, very nice.
Blue balls.
Right.
That's really
wow.
sweet.
Wow. They probably don't advertise that, but
no.
still, a nice perk. Well, let it be known. All right, now, I'm guessing she was, well, I don't want to say she was a big gal, but did she have to use the seatbelt extender?
Tiny girl,
no,
tiny
she
girl.
She didn't use add a leaf to the seatbelt
no,
thing.
No, she was actually,
I just did the math, which was, I want to go to see the Black Crowes with Dawson. And how about we get on in the bathroom? I kept adding weight as the story went on. Little gal, though, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
Tiny girl.
All right, get back to your bong, Dawson.
You
nice one.
I was just going to ask him how to smuggle pot when I travel.
Oh, that's actually the best way to do it is put it in a candle.
In a candle?
A scented candle?
You got to find somebody who makes candles, but you can make a candle and sink everything in it and send it to yourself on the way.
So you send the candle, and is it because the candle is scented or just easy to form?
Because it's completely embedded in wax, mm-hmm. and it looks like you're just sending a gift.
But how is that the best way? That it's sounds the like best the biggest pain in the ass in the world.
It is a big pain in the ass, but it's the guaranteed I'll never get caught way to do it.
Okay, so if you were going somewhere that didn't have weed for, let's say, two weeks
uh-huh.
or an hour.
Yeah, 50 minutes.
Do you send pot ahead to your house before you drive home at the end of work?
That's the idea, candle? Yeah.
All right, if you were going to go somewhere where there wasn't going to be weed and you couldn't find any weed and you want to make sure weed was going to be there, you wanted to send it ahead to yourself, but you didn't want to get busted by just putting it in a manila folder. You would put it in a candle form. Now, here's the question. Is the weed actually mixed with the wax, or do you put it in a condom?
You put it in. Actually, my friend would sink it in a little jar inside a big candle. So, mm-hmm. You get there and you break it out. It's the coolest thing. And you say to your friend, look what I got, man. And your friend looks at you and goes, dude, it's a candle. No, wait. And then you pull out a knife and break the thing open. And then they go,
they're impossible.
The candles are actually very easy to make. You can buy all the fixings at the craft store. A little jar.
And no one's suspicious that you sent ahead a 30-pound sand castle.
No, it's
saying a candle, I should say.
Works especially well during Christmas time.
All right. Well, good times. I'll tell you the thing about all folks, and it's a reoccurring theme to this show, and anytime you talk to me, I was just thinking about it the other day. I was thinking about what a lummox Big Tad was, but how Big Tad sprung to life when I offered him $10,000 to book the best guest of the month of September. You've never seen Tad more motivated, and now that the 10 grand is gone, he's back on his ass looking at UFC highlights on the computer. That's the way people work. Stoners are guys who can't get out of bed before noon, have trouble holding down jobs. They have difficulty maintaining relationships. They have difficulty with everything except for smuggling weed, and then they become super geniuses. You ever think about that? Here guys are having difficulty driving a van most days, but when it comes to transporting weed or comes to making makeshift bongs, they become MacGyver all of a sudden. And you've never seen someone more motivated. That's how human beings work. Even the least motivated of us become super ultra supercharged motivated when there's something we want. This is why communism doesn't work, and it's why welfare is a bad idea. You need to be motivated, and then no telling what you can do. Big Tad, you didn't think he had it in him, did you? Nope. You just got to dangle 10 grand in front of him. Pow. He springs to his super huge flat feet. All right, so Teresa Mile High Club, Dawson Mile High Club. Well, we got a full bank of calls. I think we should take a break and we'll continue this. Okay. Also, the jerk list coming up. Vladimir Klitschko, super heavyweight champion, going to be on the show as well. Take a quick break and then we'll get back with your stories after this.
The Adam Carolla Show with program director Jack Silver.
What up, peeps? Check it. We got comedian Larry Miller in studio. Another round of What Can't Adam Complain About? Hey, I'll tell you what he can't complain about. The Bunny Ranch. We'll have some of their whores in studio. And from the new issue of Playboy, Cindy Margolis, the most downloaded woman on the internet. Hey, that's not news to me. Why do you think they call me the Jack Man? Late.
Thank you, Jack. Here's Adam. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, continuing our phone topic, which is sort of Mile High Club / Weird Places You've Done It, based on a recent story of the flight over to North Carolina. Now, got some good calls here. We have Tony, who's a pilot who started Mile High Airlines. Definitely want to talk to him. I also want to speak to Aaron, who did it in a homemade shower in Iraq. Ooh. So we'll do that first. Aaron?
Yep.
You did it while in country?
Absolutely.
How did this work?
Well, we pushed up to Fallujah in Iraq, and mm-hmm. we were setting up a base camp, and kind of a skeleton crew. There wasn't too many of us, so our accommodations weren't too great at the time. So we built our own shower, and we had 5-gallon jugs. We'd set out in the sun during the day so they get hot, and then we'd dump them over us at night to shower.
Mm-hmm.
And we brought a female cook up there with us, and being the only female there, hot commodity. So
sure.
We got to talking, and one thing led to another, and rub-a-dub-dub, we're in the shower together for about a good 2 weeks.
Was there, you must have, your Pepe must have looked like a prune after those 2 weeks. Was there basically just sand on the floor? Was it that crude?
It was where we were. It definitely was, but we had some wood left over. No pun intended.
Mm-hmm.
And we constructed, you know, a little shower, had a little door on it and whatnot, and mm-hmm. The right amount of privacy for the time. So it was nice.
Okay. Well, every time I see one of those yellow ribbons saying we support our troops, I'll think of you when I'm driving behind.
Absolutely.
A guy.
Absolutely.
This is the way Pat Tillman would have wanted it. Hey. You effing a cook in your shower.
I tried to do him proud.
All right. I got to say, if you're a lady and you ain't so hot in the looks department, join up. Plenty of able-bodied folks for you over there. And the guys in the U.S., you know, they're in great shape. They're young bucks. A lot of them are a little... not the greatest students, but great fit athletic types. If you're into sex and you're a homely chick, that'd be the place to go. Yes?
Absolutely. Look at Hot Lips Houlihan on MASH.
That's right. It's based on a true story. Now we're going to speak to Tony. Tony?
Hey, Adam. What's up, man?
What's happening? You started Mile High Airlines?
Yeah, Mile High Adventures out in Santa Monica.
Yes. Yes, I've heard of you.
A nice outfitted corporate aircraft that we had a twin bed in the back, and it was champagne and strawberries, and mm-hmm. we did lobster thermidor for one couple, and you know what? The mm-hmm. 9 times out of 10, it was the lady that booked the flight, not the guy.
Hmm. Now, I do hear about these stories about wanting to fly over the ex's house while you're doing it and that kind of stuff. Does that ever happen?
Well, we've had a few. We had one guy that was a baseball junkie. So when his girlfriend booked it, we flew it on a night that the Dodgers and the Angels were both in town, and flew over both stadiums while they were going at it. The guy that I flew with and I, though, we would you can feel it in an aircraft that's, you know, only 12,000 pounds. You can feel them, anything they do in the back. Mm-hmm. And so we'd time them, you know. We had mm-hmm. nothing better to do up there. We'd time them and see how long they went. Some of them, we just look at each other and shake our heads. Others, you know, they got off the airplane, you wanted to ask the guy exactly, you know, what is it he's eating?
What, well, I could tell you what he's eating if it takes him that long. By the way, that's when my meter starts. I'm officially on the clock.
Yeah.
Can you physically feel the plane moving when the guys are moving back there?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It shakes. When we first started out, we did it in a fairly small airplane, mm-hmm. and a little six-seat aircraft, twin-engine airplane. Mm-hmm. And we were coming in to land in Santa Monica, and we had turned on the seatbelt sign, which was their clue to put their clothes on and get their seatbelts on.
Right.
They were still going at it to the point that it was like severe turbulence as we were trying to approach the airport. We had to go back around, circle, let them finish, and come back in and land after they were done.
I'll tell you how it would work. How it would work with me. Be like, baby, I'm going to love you all. Okay, jump up and down for about 20 minutes. I'm not humiliated when we leave the airplane.
That's
right. Wow. He's actually moving the plane around. And I would assume, wouldn't a lot of ladies feel sort of self-conscious about this? I mean, it's one thing to check into a motel and get the stink eye from the old guy behind the counter.
Man. No, not at all. As a matter of fact, they were pretty brazen about it. The aircraft we used for the majority of the time, it was a fairly decent step up into the airplane.
Mm-hmm.
They're not wearing undergarments, and they would look you square in the eye and give you the biggest flash on the planet and smirk the whole time.
Wow.
And you're just standing there in your uniform trying to look professional.
Mm. So you had people that were fans of baseball fly over the Anaheim Stadium and Dodger Stadium. Perhaps, Teresa, you could do this and fly over, like, the Holocaust Museum.
Skirball Center.
Something, I'd say, a little higher culturally. Maybe the Museum of Tolerance over here on Wilshire.
The Getty Center, I'd like.
Higher brow flight. Wow, Tony, and so how's it going now? Are you booked? Are you busy?
You know what? The guy that owned the airplane sold it, and I got a
full-time gig that had me gone most of the time, so I couldn't continue. We're still going. Every now and then we get a call from a guy in Vegas. There's an airplane up there that we use, and we'll head up to Vegas. It's it gets a little pricey up there, but it's you know, you're going up and down the strip, and it's just it's pretty amazing. The BBC came out and filmed us one time.
Did
a special on that. We've had couples that requested that the divider door between the cockpit and the back be left open.
I think you should call it the flight deck in this particular airplane.
Yeah.
They asked. Now wait a minute. They seriously asked that the door be left open so that you guys could see what was going on?
Yes. We closed it up, and they said, no, we want it left open. And we said, well, you know, we're trying to give you your privacy. And they said, no, we like to be watched.
Wow. About how much does this cost?
Well, at the time we were doing it, we were starting off at about $400, $425 in that neighborhood for an hour flight, which included the champagne, your certificate. The champagne was all private labeled with your name on it.
Suitable for framing?
Well, the champagne bottle wasn't, but the certificate was.
Nice. All right. I would laminate it.
Yeah, we did lobster thermidor. We had catered one time like that. It was just, it was some insane stuff.
All right, Tony. Well, you're doing the Lord's work. You keep it up. Keep it up. It's good stuff. All right, let's see. Someone did it in a strip club bathroom with two girls. Wait a minute. Jana?
Yeah?
Close your car door.
I closed it.
You did it in a strip club bathroom with two girls?
Yes, I did.
You, a guy, and another girl?
Two girls. No, just me. Two girls.
Hey, everybody. Jana, stage four. Jana. Where the hell, Jana?
I'm here.
What?
I'm here.
She's in the head. Get her out of this. Get her out of the head. Let's toss her on the bed. Good stuff. Get those other two pennies out of there, too. I'm not paying you to get it on in a stall. I'm paying you to get nude on a pole.
So I'm not a stripper.
Oh.
Ooh.
Hey! Okay, wait a minute. Wait a minute. You're not a stripper.
No, I'm not.
So you're in a strip club. You're in the bathroom with two girls who are or aren't strippers?
Are not.
Are not. So three civilians.
One, my best friend, and the other one I just met when I went to the strip club.
Best friend. As I said, guys do not have that. Yeah. Well, Ray and I known each other since grade school, and all of a sudden, 40 years later, you just clicked. Started making out and stuff. So one of your best friend, one girl, were you guys at a bachelorette party or something?
No, just me and my girlfriend. We decided to go to the strip club one night, and we were up there, and she knew the girl, and we were introduced to her, and then we got wasted.
And she wasn't a stripper either. She was just hanging out.
Nope, we were all just hanging out.
And what did you do in the bathroom?
Pretty much everything that you could possibly do.
How old were you at the time?
I was 21. It was about 2 years ago.
And the other girls, everyone hot?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And the funny story is I just signed up a gym membership, and they're telling me that they're going to sign me up with a personal trainer, and they're, like, showing me around the gym and showing me who the personal trainers are. And one of the girl that I didn't know is one of the personal trainers at the gym. I'm like, great.
Wow. But nice.
Yeah, nice.
I like that. So she was hot, too, as a personal trainer. Wow, this
yeah, she's gorgeous.
All right, I gotta go. That's okay. Enough.
You couldn't even. I thought you were gonna delve deeper into that, but no.
Now you finished.
Well,
all right.
I'm done.
Done.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I like the idea. Contrary to popular belief, with a lot of the ladies, Dave, back me up on this one. We like the civilians.
Oh yes.
The whole idea is the civilians thrust into the porn life, not the porn chicks doing one more lewd act in a bathroom stall. The idea that all the three of these chicks were at a strip club, but none of them danced at the strip club, makes it that much hotter. All right, let's talk to David. David?
Hello?
Pirates of the Caribbean?
Yeah.
What?
Fantastic.
Little nephew just took that ride.
I'm not lying. I swear to God.
Spot welded to the seat, too. Had to pry him out of his little onesie just to get him out of there. Yeah.
No,
what happened, David?
It was about 4 or 5. Yeah, it was probably about 95 or so, 96. We were there during the middle of the week. There was nobody there. Mm-hmm. We were just kind of hanging out, walking through. We said, "Hey, what the hell? It's a hot day, so we figured we'd go on the ride." We're going through, and there was nobody. I mean, there was nobody there, so it was pretty empty. So we're going, what the hell? We're messing around a little bit, and then mm-hmm. when you go in that one tunnel that goes to the area where the two boats are fighting.
Mm.
The road broke down right in the middle of the tunnel.
Mm. Oh, it broke down. Wow.
Yeah, it broke down right in the middle of the tunnel. So we were sitting there for about a good 45 minutes to an hour, like going, what the hell?
But how could you focus? I mean, was that speaker blaring? You know, and it's like,
matey.
It was rated R.
You can hear the gun, the firing and stuff. We had a pretty good show going, but man, yeah. So it took a lot of the noise out. So we kind of, had a good moment.
I got to say, when they go through the town that the pirates are pillaging, and they have that one guy trying to rape the other chick in the circular thing, it does get me a little bit hot.
Is that really what happens in there?
Well, there's a sort of turntable with a guy on it. It's just waist up, and he has his arms out, and then there's a wench in front of him, and then they're turning around as if he's chasing her around. It's not going to be consensual sex if he ever catches her. Although, I think some wusses probably protested a few years ago and got rid of that one.
Really?
Yeah, but it was nice. There was a lot of it was a lot of white dudes getting loaded and trying to rape people. It's basically what this one village was.
Yeah, I just did the pirate math, as you'd say, and if he's chasing the wench, it's not for fun and consensual
sex. No, he's not trying to get a phone number off her.
He doesn't want the time of day.
Yeah, even as an 8-year-old, I could do the rape math on that one. Yeah, anytime you have to do the rape math, by the way, not a good day. All right, David.
Thanks, man.
Well, you got to do what you got to do. Let's see. Under stairs at a church, mini golf course behind the little house, on top of a Ferris wheel, on stage at a strip club in Tijuana.
Wow.
Uh-oh. Keith?
Yeah, how's it going, Adam?
Tell us about this story.
Well, we went to Tijuana with about 6 buddies of mine, and we got pretty plowed. The stripper...
Start going down on you on...
New dump guy.
Oh.
He's confused. It's his first day.
Right.
He's learning.
All right. So she performed oral sex.
Yes, on the stage initially. And my buddies, of course, throwing dollars and crap on stage, and
mm-hmm.
we just started going at it on stage, and I picked her up and put her against the post, and the post broke, and the manager called the cops, and we had to bribe the cops to leave the country.
Was this on Revolution Street?
Yeah, actually it was.
Mm-hmm. Was this at a place called the Unicorn, or was it underneath? Did you have to walk down some stairs to get down there?
No, it was right up on the street.
Mm-hmm. Used to hang out at a place called the Unicorn.
And you can just go on stage and have a stripper perform oral on you?
Or you can perform on her, as I saw many a guy.
Really?
Do.
And you pay for that?
Oh, you mean money? I thought you meant...
Emotionally and spiritually.
Emotionally and spiritually, yeah. Yeah. A dollar, but that was a long time ago. Probably up to $125. Yeah, it's shocking, but it's a lawless community where if you get busted, you pay the cops off. But yeah, when I went there multiple times, guys would do that on stage. Yeah, strippers mean too; they'll kick you if you screw around. You know what I mean? You grab an ass cheek or something when they walk by, they yell "Hi!" and they kick you right in the forehead with a stiletto heel.
They're not messing around.
No, neither. Neither was young Keith. All right, buddy.
Thanks a lot, Adam.
We'll see you in hell.
See ya.
Good times. Well, I don't know how we're going to do better than having sex on stage in Tijuana. Let's see. Set of Star Trek on the Enterprise.
Dave just got excited.
No, I'm a Star Wars dude.
Sorry.
Michael?
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's happening, Michael?
Nothing much. I'll try to shorten this up. I used to work there a long time ago at Paramount, and I took a girlfriend was in town visiting, so I was giving her a tour mm-hmm. of the studio, and lo and behold, the set's door were open to the Enterprise. This mm-hmm. was like back in the late 80s,
mm-hmm.
and so it was one of those things where... we just couldn't pass it up, and just started going at it on the stage of the bridge.
Wow, a nice feather in your cap, and whenever you see it, you probably have a Pavlovian response. I mean, when it comes on UPN at 4 a.m., you're like, oh, I don't know why I'm getting wood. What's going on? Nice.
Yeah, and out of respect to the actors, I won't say which exactly where it was, but...
Yeah, figure someone was sitting in something the next day, though.
No, we kept it out of chairs.
Oh, okay. I see. Yeah. Well, nice work. Yes, I never got into that, but now maybe I'll watch. All right. There's one more here. A guy did it in a tank.
Oh, another military man, maybe.
Cyrus?
Yeah, I'm here.
In a tank.
Yeah, you know, I was with the 4th Infantry Division out of Fort Hood, and right before we put our tanks on the ships to get sent over to Iraq, you know, I decided to, christen it.
Mm-hmm.
So I was on a thing called staff duty one night, and where it's just me and another private. So, you know, I called my wife up, said, you know, what better way to christen my tank, baby? You know,
get on your knees, scumbag!
Yeah.
So, you know, let's go do it in the gunner seat.
Speaking of staff and duty, come on down, baby.
And privates.
So,
yeah.
What kind of tank was it?
It's a M1 Abrams SEP tank, the baddest killing machine on the planet.
It really is. M1 Abrams. I mean, those things, are, you know, they go 50 miles an hour and they can shoot, you know. I don't know what the rate of fire is, but it's really fast.
I also drag raced that same tank one night down the streets of Baquba, Iraq.
The military is really amazing. It's essentially a group of folks that barely got out of high school behind the wheel of things that cost several $100 million. I mean, those tanks. I mean, that M1 Abrams tank, just one of them's got to be, I don't know, $30 million, $20 million, something like that. And don't get me started on the aircraft. At least those guys went to college. But what a gig. You know, I mean, normally when you get your GED, you're handling a mop or a broom. You're not handling $20 million worth of mechanized machinery. You know what one of those babies costs, Cyrus?
Yeah, it's cost anyway. You're pretty much on the mark. It's about $42 million per tank. You know,
right.
And we got ours up to a, there's actually a little plug on the inside of the steering column that you can take out.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like taking off the governor.
It's a governor. So
we kind of got ours going about 53, anywhere from 53 to 57.
That is amazing. And that was, did you say in Iraq?
Yeah.
I was drag racing.
Baquba, Iraq, yeah.
Absolutely.
With my wingman tank.
Absolutely amazing. So you dragged another tank.
Yeah.
Right.
And he won because, you know, I had kind of a new driver.
Mm-hmm.
And if you tilt it to the side a little bit, you lose a little bit of speed because, you know, you got tracks moving, you know what I'm saying?
Right. Well, it's an amazing vehicle. And again, that little drag race probably cost American taxpayer $30,000. It is amazing. I had a buddy who was in the Air Force, and he flew A-10 Warthogs, which is essentially a huge Gatling gun filled with spent uranium shells, and they would just go out in the desert. I said, what would you do for training? Go out in the Mojave Desert. They would drag school buses out there. And what would you do? Buzz down and open up on them. Say, what were you firing? Spent uranium cannon. How big was the shell? You know, it's like, I don't know, 50-millimeter cannon. It was a Gatling gun. It had. Let's see, Dave. It was like the one that Jesse Ventura had in Commando or whatever.
Predator.
It was that sort of thing, but 10 times as big.
Don't got time to bleed.
It got shot about 2,000 rounds a minute or something. Each burst, you know, if you held the trigger down for 2 seconds, it probably cost $2 million. And you're just shredding school buses in the middle of the desert, and that's what you're doing. It's a good time. You're making $20,000 a year, but you just spent $2 million that afternoon buzzing around with the jet fuel and opening up with spent uranium shells on the Gatling gun. What a video game. In a casket. Hold on. Michael.
It pains me, Adam.
I'm an atheist, and I don't approve.
Please forgive me.
Oh, well, no. I think I'm going to like this, actually.
She was a Wiccan.
Heavy set, huh?
Yeah, heavy stuff. And she was into all this sort of stuff. And she had a...
Mm-hmm.
It was a...
Wiccans are fat.
How'd she get in the casket?
No.
How'd she get out? It's a bigger question, that big ass.
She wasn't. I know you'd probably have her at 147. She was 126. She had...
Right. How much her left side weigh?
No, she was pretty. Anyway, she had a box that they carried.
What?
She collected.
Oh.
She collected. She had this casket that used to carry. They carried the dead soldiers off the Civil War battlefield with, and her mother was really into all this sort of stuff. And it was in this room, and one day she's like, I said, what's that? She goes, it's a casket they carried dead bodies off the Civil War battlefield with. She lived near Gettysburg. I was like, wow. And she said, if you want, we can sleep in there tonight.
Nice. That didn't set off any alarm bells in your head.
I was going to the dark side just for like 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah, to me, that's where I hear that little voice in my head that says, get out. That means that's what we call a deal breaker.
Stab you or something like that?
She would freak me out. I'm freaked out about the Wiccans. I really am. But you got it on in a casket, nonetheless.
Yeah, there we go. And I feel better.
Sure. It's a purging.
It now. Yeah,
okay, you got it off your chest. I mean, literally wiped out. Oh, that's disgusting.
All right.
I'm seeing him. All right. I was just thinking if we were still naming Teresa Strasser's parts down there, the casket would be nice.
I like that.
Open casket.
It's a place to get buried.
All righty. We need to take a break, but don't worry, kiddies. The jerk list is upon us. We'll be hearing from Dave Damashek.
It gives me no pleasure to report that once again, the jerk cup runneth over. And we'll travel back in jerk history. We'll talk about the greatest basketball coach in history. And we'll put the jerk spotlight on maybe the dumbest man in history.
All that after this.
There's too many jerks.
That's what I love about
jerk.
The jerk list.
A severe penalty for being a jerk.
You're a jerk.
The jerk list.
Jerks! Jerks!
What an outrage.
Shame! What a jerk. You're a jerk.
The jerk list.
There's too many jerks.
Yes. The jerk list.
Judge rules. Jerk!
Well, you know what that means. Time for Dave Damashek.
The jerk list.
And I got to say, Dave, I don't know if you lost weight, you're working out, or maybe just getting lamer, but you look fantastic this morning, brother.
Ace, what's done is done. If you earned your spot on the jerk list, there's nothing I can do to help you.
Oh, I wouldn't dream of trying to sway you, David. I'm just saying you really brought your game. The morning
good news for you,
6 a.m. sports, dynamite, fantastic.
A quick review. I do not see the name Corolla.
All right, well, then let's get this dirge over with.
Let's get it started. Let's get ready to rumble. Let's get together. Let's get it on. Let's get some jerks. And remember, I didn't do this to you. You did this to you. Start off with a special edition of This Day in Jerk History. It's important to remember that just because your jerky behavior predates the jerk list, it doesn't mean you don't still gotta pay.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike the courts in the U.S. of A., the jerk list has no statute of limitations. What I'm saying is, even time can't save you. Here's what I'm talking about. Sure, you remember about 3 years ago, Scott Peterson killed his wife, Lacey, and their unborn kid, and I apparently they named this kid Connor.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow it led to people concocting songs about it. Here's the worst one of them all.
Remembering Lacey, how her smile would make you smile.
Oh.
Remembering Lacey, how she loved, there's no denial. Now the angels hold her gently, and little Connor's with her too. And she smiles and says, we're all right, and we send our love to you.
This is why I would like to have a class action lawsuit against the people that invented the Casio. I feel like ever since we've decided that everyone can now turn their living room to their own recording studio and everyone can just put a Casio and put a drum beat on it, we now are all suffering.
It's outrageous. That was sent to me by my main man, Curly Paddock in Phoenix. But I mean, yeah, that's outrageous. You are a scumbag, and for that, you are a jerk. Listen, I got an interesting call on the jerk hotline.
Mm.
Take a listen to it. It's from Stephen Green, who you know from the Adam Carolla Project, Ace, and he's a good chum of our pal Jim Brusco.
But I like him anyway, by the way.
Your buddy. Mm-hmm. Your buddy also to your friend and producer Jim Brusco. Trying to get this jerk to be friends with his friend Pete the Man Olowski. They've had a fight a couple years ago, and they haven't spoken since. And I think it's time for them to bury the hatchet.
That's nice. I mean, of course, Jim Brusca resides in the Creep Hall of Shame. But Brusca already, I'll tell you what, Stephen. I'm going to conduct a thorough investigation of this. Apparently, you have some rift with your old pal, Pete the Man. Guy's name is Pete. He's a grown man.
He's a grown man.
Pete the Man, you have a fight. All right, I'm going to look into this, and if I find cause for it, we'll call to order the first session of the jerk court.
Ooh,
all right,
the jerk court.
Because it's not right. clear which of them is the jerk.
I'm not going to listen. I'm not going to let them feel. But both of them feel the sting of the blaster right now. I'm
going
to investigate
court, it. Worst part of them all for me. Food court, no problemo there. All jerk right, court, steer clear.
Let's move on to the get out.
Put
of
your
jerk
waiters on before you head to the jerk court.
I've got two get-out-of-jerk free cards to give away this week. It's coveted. They're coveted, of course.
Sure.
It's got the power to buy you out of any future jerky behavior.
I
the
saw
first
one on eBay a couple of weeks back. I don't want to say anything to you. Yeah. Fetched a pretty penny. A pretty penny.
Yes, I can't imagine how much. I mean, it's invaluable. All right. The first one goes to Jerron the intern. Mm. My main man, Hizzle. Sad news. Good for him. He got a great job, and he's moving on, but sad for all of us. As he goes out into the world, I'd like him to be in the black for the first time in his life on the jerk ledger. Hizzle, enjoy your get out of jerk free card. Next, former coach Bob Knight. He's getting a lot of heat for tapping one of his Texas Tech players under the chin. Now, he's a wonderful man. You know, he used to coach Indiana University, my alma mater. This man's a teacher, and not just of hoops, by the way. Here he is on why the F word is maybe the greatest word in the English language.
I really don't think there is any word in the English language that expresses so many different things as the word does. You know, you can use surprise. Well, I'll be f***ed. You can use the word to indicate anger. F*** you. You can use the word to indicate dismay. Oh, I just think it probably is the most expressive word our language has.
See, he's wonderful. Now listen, back in 1992, a young Dave Damashek was a journalism major at Indiana University. I wrote Coach Knight a letter. I was a senior. I was about to leave, go out into the world. I said, Coach Knight, in my letter, would you mind if I came by and interviewed you? Assuming he would say no. Too busy, too powerful. Coach Knight said, come on by next week. I did so, and his secretary, who later he would throw an ashtray at, allegedly. Coach Knight said, the secretary said, Coach Knight's waiting for you down on the floor. He's just finishing up practice. Down I went, and there were all of the Indiana Hoosier players, Calbert, Chaney, and so on, all the great players from the number one ranked team in the country.
They were ranked number one at that time.
I was intimidated, you know, stood right at center court. Coach Knight came over to me. And I asked him a question. They were about to play Kansas, who had beaten them the season before. I said, Coach, any revenge factor in this game for the players? And he said, is that the sort of stupid-ass question you're going to be asking me? Because if it is, we can cut this S off right here. I was wounded. I pressed on with one more question. He shot me down again by saying, he's like, tell you what. If you can get your S together by tomorrow, you can come back and we can try this effing thing again. For now, give me the tape that you're recording this on. He took it. He broke it.
Wow.
I had to contemplate, did I want to go back? Coach Knight's challenged me. Am I man enough to face Coach Knight? Took a lot of soul searching, but I went back that next day. And Coach Knight and I had a wonderful talk. Let me say two things to his detractors. One, he did not lay a mitt on me. But he pushed me. He pushed my soul.
I see. He got the best out of you.
That's exactly right. Coach Knight, you are a man. And thanks to you, so now am I. In return, I present you the Get Out of Jerk Free card. Enjoy it, Coach Knight. Don't let anyone bring you down, Coach. All right. That Powerful. Brings us to the Creep of the Week. Creep, creep, creep of the week, of the week. Creep of the week. Wow, I was just complimenting Coach Knight for turning me into a man, but apparently I'm not that good a man. Because if you remember last week, I talked about the fact that I lost a Who ticket. Mike Lynch got tickets to see the Who at the Hollywood Bowl. Somehow I lost it in the 5 minutes between the time he gave it to me and the time we were entering the door. Right. $170 I owed Mike Lynch. A couple days later, Mike Lynch said to me, hey, Dave, remember that gigantic book of CDs I loaned you about 2 weeks ago while I was moving? Got probably 150, 200 CDs in there, something like that. He said, how about I get it back? And I said, sure, I have it in my car. Went out to the car, it was gone. Wasn't in my house. Wasn't here in the office.
And that's the kind of thing take years to collect.
$170? That's a drop in the bucket. This is several thousand dollars worth of CDs I've lost. What gives? I've come up with a plan, though, to try and resolve this. First of all, yes, I am the creep of the week, and I'm ashamed of myself. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. I'm going to try to make lemonade out of these lemons of my own stupidity. I want to have a fundraiser for the Alzheimer's, because clearly I'm in the early stages of it myself. Here's what we'll do. We are going to post on the website, adam.freefm.com. We will post the list of all the CDs I owe Mike Lynch. You send those CDs in to me. I will take all duplicates and I will sell them at a CD store. The money we make from it will contribute to the Alzheimer's research. That's so nice, right?
You'll burn a duplicate, give that to Mike, and then sell the other ones used.
That's exactly right. And so Mike, all duplicates that we
does
get.
Does Mike know what he's missing?
Oh, yes. He sent me a detailed list. We've already put the entire list together. It's for charity.
And so, for Mike Lynch, who, our writer, who is the type of guy who actually had these alphabetized, and he loved these CDs.
It's amazing what you can do when you're not getting laid.
How dare you?
Yes, he should not feel the sting of the blaster. It's time for yours truly to feel it.
You turn the blaster on yourself, David.
Ow. All right, but listen, this
the
is a
jerk
real thing.
List with Dave Damashek. Until next time, don't be a jerk.
Send in those CDs. We'll go to the website. Send in what you can. It's 94 total, says Mike Lynch. Right,
I'll give
Mike
you
Lynch.
I'll give you a clue. 91 of them were fish bootleg CDs.
Those weren't another book.
Do you have some examples?
They might be Giants on there.
Oh. There you go.
Uh-oh.
All my They Might Be Giants gone.
Pavement.
A lot of cake. It was all my post-90s rock.
Mm. Or I love 90s cake. Rock. All right.
Pearl Jam, Mighty Mighty Boston.
Ooh, that's smart.
A lot of stings, yeah.
We got to get those cake guys in here. They're nice guys, and they bring the trumpet with them.
It's for charity, though.
It's for charity.
It's a nice cause.
A good cause, yeah. All right. Where were we? That's right. When we come back, I'm going to play you some snippets from CNN. I was watching very early this morning and saw something I thought was very disturbing. Also, another update from Vanessa Minnillo from Entertainment Tonight.
Yes, CNN. Ugly Vanessa.
More. It's a 28-part series. It's a 28-part series about when you take a hot, thin girl and you make her fat, confusing, and grotesque, how society shuns them. How many parts do we need to know this? All right. I seem to have this one figured out by the third grade. Stephanie Metzger, overweight, red hair. She was called lard ass and everyone made fun of her. And then there was Cece Feichens. She was piping hot. Everyone treated her differently. I had a pretty good handle on this one pretty early on. I imagine all you guys did too. But we'll keep it going after this.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show. Let's check Adam's voicemail.
Yeah, my name's not important, but the biggest problem we have in this world is the religion. Adam, please talk about those jackasses who drive in the carpool lane with one person. I finally saw justice yesterday and saw somebody get pulled over. It was like redemption. Love you, Adam. Keep going.
Hey, guys. My name is Dennis. I have an extra ticket for the Who concert in Las Vegas Friday night. Center seat, seven rows from the stage. Give me a call if you're interested. Talk to you later.
Call 866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Oh, perhaps he found yours, Dave Damashek. I'll tell you one of the things that's liberating about being a guy, back to Dave and his Who concert ticket loss, is we all parked over at Kimmel in the back of Kimmel's stage, and we all just decided to trek it up to the Hollywood Bowl a few weeks back to watch the Who concert. And at a certain point, I stopped somewhere on Highland, and I said, "What happened to Dave?" And everyone said, "Oh, he went back." And I said, "Went back to the car at night?" "Yeah." "Why?" "He lost his ticket." "Oh." And everyone just kept walking again. See, girls couldn't do that. Girls be like, "What happened to Tammy?" "Oh, she went back." "Well, who walked her back?" "Rebecca is walking her back, but Tammy said that we should wait for her here and that she gave us a phone number to call." Guys, it's like, "What happened?" "He met some fat chick at the party." "Where is he?" "God knows where. Let's go home." You get to leave guys wherever they want. They get to walk. You can be, I've been in like Tijuana and stuff. "What happened to Carl?" "He went to the beach." "What for?" "I think he's going to boot and then he's going to sleep." "All right." "Well, I'm going back to the strip club." You chicks, you can't do that. You have to stay together all the time. We all would have missed the Who. If we were chicks, we had to go, what's it? We'd have to walk Dave back.
It's not
dark.
Right for us to enjoy the show.
Right.
There'd be a caucus.
Yeah, we'd have to break off into discussion groups and hammer out the beats. And then somebody would be angry at somebody, even though that person told the other person it was fine. Go ahead. No, go to the concert. Go without me. I'll go back and get my car. Then that person would be angry that they went ahead and saw the concert. All right. Well, changing gears a little bit. Literally, I was watching CNN this morning at 4:45, 5 a.m., you know, the time all you people watch CNN. And I saw this story, and it got me thinking.
A week away from your road trip over the interstate and through the malls to grandmother's house, a check of what it'll cost you to fill up your sleigh now. AAA reports the national average of unleaded gas now at $2.22 a gallon. Shoot, grandmother could live further away, or farther away, I guess. And with prices falling, more people are heading back to the bigger rides.
That's right. Took us about 9 weeks for our memories to just go blank and be shaken like an Etch-a-Sketch, and everyone's going back. I remember it was somewhere mid-July, everyone was talking about, I'm getting a Prius, man. We gotta start coming up with alternative fuels. We got to get into the biofuel. We got to do this. We got to do that. Then the gas has dropped 11 cents and everyone's right back into the Hummers. Do you see how we are? Do you see how short-sighted we are? How our memories are so short and how easy we are to manipulate? It's real easy. You raise the gas prices by 10 cents, everyone goes out and buys a Prius. You lower the gas prices by 20 cents, everyone goes out and gets into the alley. We're like lemmings that are being sort of guided by a giant hand, you know? We're just rats running through a maze, and a big hand comes in from the oil company, and we just change direction. Then it drops down over here, and we start heading back the other direction. So easy. By the way, a car is $30,000 plus, last time I checked. You're deciding this $30,000 decision based on 8 cents a gallon? I mean, I know it adds up, but really, this is your factor? I mean, I understand if gas prices double or if it just drops out and all of a sudden it's back to Mayberry days when it's 39 cents a gallon. But the difference between 221 and 227 that's the difference between saving the environment and driving a Denali and smoking a cigar with the governor. It seems so easy to manipulate. All right, let's hear our next drop that got me thinking in this story.
When there's been a gas price hike, people have moved to small cars, but then they very quickly in the United States, when gas prices go back down, big vehicles very quickly regain favor.
And let's just hear the last one.
Internet site Cars.com says its traffic is shifting.
We're seeing people search much less for hybrids and the smallest cars.
This is why we need to enact my plan where it's $10 a gallon and we just build our light rail system and our bullet trains and get our buses and van pools going. This is why we do it, because otherwise we'll not do it. The gas companies are diabolical. They raise it. They get everyone going. All of a sudden gets a bunch of heat and then they back off and everyone gets right back into their Denalis and they shake it right off and they forget all about it. They manipulate us. We're going along for this literal ride and it's been 30-something years. We had a gas embargo and a gas crisis and a gas this and a gas that in the early 70s. It's been 30-something years, and yet nothing has changed at all. You think it's going to change? It's not. As long as big oil has the money and is in the pockets of the politicians, not going to happen. Raise it up, make a few bucks, get everyone freaked out. Al Gore comes out of his cave, starts talking about alternative fuel sources. Boom, lower the prices. Everyone starts laughing, gets right back into the SUV, and we're all done. Also, as far as the gains made in mileage, you know, you do hear about the hybrids, and everyone's talking about the hybrids, but I was thinking about this, and I looked into it a little while ago. You take, like, the Ford Escape. That's a smallish hybrid sort of utility cards. It's smaller than the Excursion and smaller. I think it's like it's even smaller than the Explorer.
Oh, so it's a mini SUV.
It's a mini SUV and it's a hybrid and it's the Escape and it gets 32, 33 miles average hybrid. But a 65 VW van got that. I mean, it didn't have the airbags and maybe didn't have the crumple zones, but really those VW vans, those indestructible VW vans from the 60s, that's got about 30-something miles to gallon. That was 60, and they, by the way, the Escape holds four or five people. The van held God knows, 35, 40 hashers. I don't know how many stoners you could pile into that thing. My buddy, the Wheeze, had one. We'd put 8 or 10 people in that van and go off-roading all the time. That was before he had the windshield put back into it. You have to wear goggles. But the point is it was a good time. The ace man in the crash position. I would always lay down on the floor. They had a big floor in between the back seat and the front seat, and I would get in this crash position where I essentially created an X. I lay on my stomach on this flat piece of vinyl and put both hands and brace myself for when eventually we rolled the van, because that's the way he drove on the dirt roads up off of Mulholland when he was baked on a Saturday night in 1985. But point is, same mileage with that van as we have now, and even stuff like the Prius, which is getting, you know, 40-something, 50 miles a gallon. I was looking up the Honda CRX, which is a nice little sporty car from 1986. Those things got high 40s, low 50s as well. I feel like we're locked in here. We're not making enough progress. And we live in a society that when it sets its sights on solving a problem from a technological standpoint, it's done. I mean, that's the way it works. When we want a dam built, we build it. A bridge built, we build it. When it comes to anything that has to do with the military, oh, my God. I mean, pardon the pun, Star Wars, it's beyond that. The stuff, and this is the stuff we know about, the stuff we're privy to, the stealth technology, all the different vectoring systems and the radars and the smart bombs and the bunker busters and all that. I mean, when we set our sights on doing something, it gets done. That is the good thing about this country. Obviously, we've not set our sights on this one. Obviously, the oil companies are getting in the way. Obviously, they're paying the politicians. And obviously, the system is broken. We have a system called a democracy where this big oil conglomerate can pay a politician to get him elected, and then the politician just becomes a puppet and does the bidding. That's our democracy? You don't believe me? Check the last 30 years since we've had the oil embargo and see if we're in any better shape than we are now. Or ask Kim Chi, our flautist.
It's true. When you look at the advances we've made in other areas, they dwarf advances in this.
Right. Nate says my $10 a gallon idea wouldn't work. Why not, Nate?
Adam, love the show. Your skills as an economist aren't maybe as high as your skills as a comedian.
Uh-oh.
If you charge $10 a gallon everyone,
right?
Okay, you charge $10 a gallon for everyone. Now, mm-hmm. anybody who makes less than $50,000 a year can't afford that at all.
That's right.
So everyone is going to be taking mass transit.
That's right.
Which is paid for by the $10 a gallon.
Right.
Who is then paying the $10 a gallon to pay for the mass transit if everyone is taking mass transit?
Well, that's a very valid point, one I hadn't thought of.
Right. Now, the second problem
takes a big man to admit when he's wrong, though. No, I do feel like there would be a large percentage of our society that was still driving at $10 a gallon.
In L.A., there would be.
L.A., for sure. I'm trying to think if there's anyone I know that would put away their car $10 a gallon. They would certainly think about it, but it still would be millions and millions and millions of dollars in the revenue department. I mean, in Los Angeles, if you did $10 a gallon, it would probably cut whatever in half. But still, that's half of millions of dollars, and it's $7 or $7.50 a gallon. That would be a massive surplus.
Well, it would be a surplus so long as people are buying the $10 a gallon gas.
I think they will. I'm basing this on almost everyone who works in this building still getting in their car in the morning and driving to work.
Right. Well, I mean, so you do that, but then you have these buses that are going to pick you up at your house.
Vans, vans would take you to buses, that would take you to light rail, all that stuff. Right.
Allowances would be made for the public vehicles, too, for the buses.
How long would it ultimately take you to get from Van Nuys to wherever, to La Brea?
How long would it take you? It depends how efficient the system was. I would say certainly a shorter period of time than it takes you now stuck in traffic going over Beverly Glen.
Yeah, I'm
all right. You're losing me because I'm making a point. Yes. First off, the system doesn't work now. We act like it does. It doesn't. The freeways are congested. The canyons are congested. Wherever you live, even if it's not Southern California, believe me, your city's growing and the freeways are being that much more burdened. You have to enact a change. Everyone is going to tell you why things aren't going to work. So is the answer do nothing? That can't be the answer, can it? we're slowly... It's sort of like saying you're in quicksand and you're very slowly sinking to the point where your head is going to be obscured with this sand any day now. Don't struggle. You'll sink faster. Well, what's the alternative? You got to make a move. You got to reach for the branch. Otherwise, you don't have a choice. You're slowly going in. We're destroying the environment. Everything's becoming congested. We're losing millions and millions. Also, if you think about it this way, too, you can get a lot done in terms of productivity when you're sitting on a bus, sitting on a train, sitting on a light rail. Everyone who goes to work in Manhattan from wherever, Long Island, they're all sitting there with their laptops open. They're all sitting there working on their spreadsheets or whatever it is. It's much more productive than you being trapped behind your wheel. All right, let's see.
Corolla the liberal.
Mm-hmm. I'm for the environment. Let's see. Let's talk to John. John? John?
Hey, Adam. How's it going?
Good. How say you?
I just wanted to let you know why the gas mileage hasn't gotten better since that CRX in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason is weight. We've added all this safety equipment, the airbags, the luxury items, all this crap that people want in the cars these days and the government says we have to have.
Mm-hmm.
So that added weight has taken away from the mileage extra technology would give us. I was reading an article about it in Car and Driver last month,
mm-hmm.
and they were saying that if the cars weighed today with the mileage, weighed what they weighed in the 80s with the technology we have today,
mm-hmm.
we'd be getting probably another 15, 20 miles a gallon out of them.
Well, let me say this, because I know a lot about cars. The average weight, yes, weight is definitely an issue when it comes to mileage, but the average car has probably gotten lighter over the years because of the materials used, because cars are being used and a lot of components are being made out of aluminum instead of steel, for instance. There's also other composite materials that are being used. For instance, old cars had iron blocks and iron heads and iron engines, and everything was made of Detroit iron, and those things weighed a ton, or actually be more correct, 2 tons. They are getting lighter because of materials. I agree the weight goes up with the side impact zones and the crush zones and the airbags and all that kind of stuff, but it goes down with the technology being used and the materials to construct the cars.
Absolutely, and I agree with you, and that's definitely true, especially on the higher-end models.
Right.
But then the second issue of it is performance. You know, that CRX made, 88 horsepower, whereas now a comparable vehicle will make 160.
Right.
If we had kept the power levels the same with the technology and the weight, we'd still be doing probably better than we were back then. But
no, I hear what you're saying, and I'm saying, obviously there's reasons, but we should be able to overcome these things. That's what technology does. Yeah, there's reasons why a car from 20 years ago gets the same mileage, if not better, than most of the cars do today, but we should be able to overcome that. That's all I'm saying. If we set our sights on it, we could do it. We're not setting our sights on it. Let's see. Let's take one more call. Someone wants to know if I'm an environmentalist. Mike?
Yeah.
Your question is, am I an environmentalist?
No. Are you turning into an environmentalist, or you really just hate the oil companies? You want to stick it to them?
Well, again, when it comes to politics, I believe we get spread too wide. There's the people that claim, there's the people that claim your kids are going to have to live underground and breathe out of a filter in order to survive. That's how I grew up, with one of those wacky hippie families that said, basically every river is going to be polluted and every Indian's going to be crying. So why don't you kill yourself now? But then there's the other extreme. The folks there saying, show me some science on a greenhouse effect. I don't see any greenhouse. Actually, this December was actually colder than last December. What greenhouse effect? So they're both on opposite spectrums. The answer is somewhere in between. Are we doing damage to our environment? Of course we're doing damage to our environment. Are kids going to have a home to live in? I'm sure they will. I'm not so sure about their kids' kids. We're doing damage. There is a point where we'll cross that we can't correct it. We should probably be figuring out ways to stem this tide and do less damage at this point before we get past that area that sort of like what pilots have when they're taking off. Once they hit a certain speed on the runway, they have to take off, and that's it. Even if they're going to crash, they have to. There's no going back. We're getting to that speed. We're slowly getting there, and we have to do something before we get there. I don't know why. The problem is we have the far right and the far left, and they're both filled with rhetoric, and they just argue over somewhere in the middle. The sane people reside, and that's when we have to start making our move. All right, we need to take a break. This was one thing I heard on TV. Another thing was on Entertainment Tonight. So we'll shift gears and get into my never-ending obsession with Vanessa Minnillo and her fat suit after this.
And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Wheeling, West Virginia. A 28-year-old man was angry about being fired and broke into his employer's business, but was intoxicated and broke into the wrong building. The building was a Dollar General thrift store. Definitely not a Jew!
All right. All you folks on the phone that wanted to talk gas and mileage and whatnot can go ahead and hang up on yourselves because I'm moving forward. I got topic number two from the TV yesterday, and that is Entertainment Tonight. Let's hear our first clip.
So we tried to get in, and the guy was actually nice, saying she'll come out. I even offered cold hard cash to secure a table inside. Money usually talks, but not this time. No promoter, and I offered to buy a couple bottles, which is hundreds of dollars, sometimes thousands of dollars, and they just kept looking over and letting people in around us, and then one of them just kept ignoring us.
Again, another hard-hitting investigative report lodged by Vanessa Minnillo.
Lodged by, not filed by.
Lodged. Vanessa Minnillo put herself in a fat suit with chipmunk cheeks and a crazy... Now, here's the part I don't know. She put the crazy glasses on and the crazy wig. Last I checked, fat people's hair wasn't fat. It's really the one part that doesn't get fat. Everything gets fat, ironically, but your penis, if you're a guy, that gets smaller. That's how I know there's no God. Your head gets huge. Penis shrinks.
Lose weight.
It's the only thing that shrinks when you get fat. But on women, oftentimes fat women, their hair is nicer because they overcompensate. They spend a little more time on it. But she put the big crazy wig on, and it's crazy. She looks crazy. Yeah, we discriminate against fat people and ugly people. That's the way it works. I don't look at it as discriminating against fat people and ugly people. It's just if you're beautiful, it opens doors. You go from we don't care about you to right this way. We don't go out of our way to find unattractive people and shun them from society. We do go out of our way to find beautiful people and open doors for them.
That's why it's great when the likes of Vanessa Minnillo, who's obviously very foxy, and then Tyra Banks, the model, they get in the fat suit. Ultimately, the result is that these beauties realize, oh, this is how the rest of the world lives. This is the great revelation. Yeah, of course every door swings open for you. You're tens, of course. This is how the rest of the world lives. Nobody gives a crap about any of the rest of us.
Right. Perhaps we should take Shaquille O'Neal, put him those dwarf shoes on his knees and have him walk around on his knees so he can figure out, so he can feel what it's like to be 5'10", just for a day. Do we really need that? Do we need people that aren't this becoming that? And they've done hundreds of these stories now, or at least dozens of them. It just seems insane to me. Also, then later on, she got out of her fat suit, and I like the part, I think this is the when she filed the story from last week. She actually became teary, weeping openly for these unattractive women. It is so condescending and so pathetic. And again, what's next? We're going to do an expose on gravity. We're just going to have Pat O'Brien drop an apple out of a tree and see what direction it goes. Does it head up toward the stars or fall down toward the stars, I should say, or go down toward terra firma? I really feel like this is a no-duh time killer, but it's working, I guess. I'm obsessed with it. Let's hear the next clip. This is where she went blonde, put in green contact lenses, and went back out to the same clubs.
Of course, just 24 hours before, I had a very different experience. Glammed up as a blonde with green eyes, I got beyond the velvet rope in no time.
It really is night and day. I was royalty last night. Come on in. Bring your friends in. Here's the owner's table.
Yeah. See, it's different out there. You guys don't know, Dave. I mean, you and Therese, you know, you're the beautiful people. You don't know what it's like to be unattractive.
I can't hardly imagine.
Well, now you know. Now you know.
It hurts.
I didn't have an inkling this was going on before. I heard nothing about the velvet rope and the beautiful people. To my experience was all the leading male actors in Hollywood were marrying big fat pigs that were burned horribly. by kerosene and industrial fires.
Yeah, it seems like all the Victoria's Secret models are kind of plain and stuff.
Yeah, short, squatty. I wouldn't call them homely, but they're not particularly attractive. Yeah. Hey, boy, this is news.
Self-righteous Vanessa Minnillo. I'm sure you're with Nick Lachey because he's got a wonderful heart.
No, his singing voice is beautiful.
That's true.
Right. And I'm sure he's on top of you because of your journalistic work.
Yeah, that's why they put, by the way, Vanessa Minnillo on this hard-hitting story.
Yes.
Over at E.T.
Yeah,
she takes silly champagne.
The reason you're on TV is because you're hot, sweetie. And you don't need to put in the freaky green contact lenses and the blonde wig in order to get into the club. You're good looking because you're an entertainment reporter and you're under 30. And that's why you get into the club. It's really... do they have people over there that make decisions on this stuff? Who green lights this stuff and how does it work?
Well, I'll tell you what. When I worked on the morning news in New York, anything with weight is always for November sweeps. If somebody's lost weight on the staff or gained weight, that's always a big story. And I was watching this last week. Adam, how long has this thing been going on? Because I was watching Ugly Vanessa on E.T. We got to be on day 8 with this same story.
It's a 133-part series. Next week, she's going to go out. She's going to put Hippo Flop on her head. She's going to take a spaghetti colander. She's going to put it on her head. She's going to fill it with Hippo Flop and find out if she has trouble getting directions from strangers.
Well, by the way, I was tuning in to watch this, and then they kept teasing Tracy Gold going to Australia to talk to the anorexic twins.
Yes.
And I watched 3 straight days, and they teased it, and they never got to it.
I know.
And I still have not seen it. What happened? Did you ever see it?
I just saw those super anorexic twins who looked like they'd been thrown on the Barbie many years ago, and it was frightening. They were skin and bones. They looked like the Crypt Keeper. I just imagine sociologists from another planet essentially talking about our Earth's trajectory and how things have gone, and it'd be basically like this. Well, early on, it was tough. People couldn't find food to survive. They had to walk for many miles, farms and things like that didn't always work out. It was basically, they basically just lived to eat. That's how it went. And then later on, they got some food, but they still had to walk a little bit and get on a horse and hunt. Then later on, you know, somewhere in the 20th century, a little before that, they started growing crops and supermarkets started popping up and fast food restaurants started popping up. And then the obsession became with eating and not getting fat. So this weird thing that we have to contend with, that everyone after us is going to have to contend with, and that newer generations have had to contend with, that didn't exist in the millions of years we're on the planet before this, which is there is a Arby's and there's a Jack in the Box on every corner. It's open 24 hours a day. We got enough money in our wallet to stop and eat it, but now we can't get fat. It's a weird twilight zone that we're all being punished in, and then all the TV shows have now picked up this obsession as well. So when you're done passing the fast food place saying, nope, just go straight. Do not turn into that drive-thru. Keep driving. You can then go home, turn on the TV set, and watch Entertainment Tonight with one of the reporters donning the fat suit. The idea that she's hot and she's going to make herself ugly, see if you can get in a club. It's a strange obsession. And again, if some sociologist was explaining it to his class from Neptune, it would be a very weird arc we've taken with food over the years. I don't know where we're heading. I don't think it's good.
Well, it can't be good when the big stories that they're teasing for sweeps are this one's gluing on the fat, and then these two are anorexics in Australia.
That's right.
Just as long as we don't go back to the 18th century with the Rubenesque women being the attractive women, you know, all the fat women. That's what all the royalty was into. They were into the fat ladies.
Yeah.
Heaven forbid
we ever
go back to
that. Because they could afford food. It was a sign of wealth.
Pasty, white, fat. But I'll tell you one thing they didn't skimp on back then was the cleavage.
Yeah.
A lot of ass. But in a powdered wig, but boobs for miles.
Mm-hmm. Corseted.
Yeah, give me mutton chop and some double D's to go. We need to take a break. Klitschko, Vladimir Klitschko, heavyweight champ. Vladimir Klitschko is going to be on the show. And also news and sports. T.
Yes, Kelly Pickler from American Idol drops a bombshell. And OJ coming out with a really, really creepy book.
We'll talk about that and Vladimir Klitschko after this.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Oh, there it goes! Right here! Second of the draw! It's up to 5, 6, 7, 8, 9! It took this 8th round and it's all over!
IBF and IBO World Heavyweight Champion with 46 wins and 41 by knockout, Vladimir Klitschko, on the Adam Carolla Show.
We'll get to Vlad the Impaler in a second. First, we'll do some quick news, and then Vladimir Klitschko.
Tsunami off Japan, hostages in Baghdad, but let's get to travesties closer to home. O.J. Simpson is releasing a book. This was a rumor, and now it's been confirmed. It's coming out November 30th, and it is called O.J. Simpson, If I Did It, Here's How It Happened. It will be accompanied by a two-part special on Fox, in which O.J. is interviewed and discusses how he would have carried out the murders if he had carried out the murders, which he still denies doing.
Yeah, this is a speed-related thing. Talked to Dr. Drew about it many times. People get high on speed, and they do this kind of stuff. That's where people get stabbed 400 times. You know, that kind of stuff. Speed.
Speed
you
kills.
Think O.J. Yeah. was on the speed, is your assertion.
I do.
Interesting. Well, we'll be learning more about that. Now, in pop music, the world of pop music, adorable Kelly Pickler, who came in here after she was relieved of her duties on American Idol, she is on the top of the country charts. She's got a sitcom with Fox that's coming out. Yes, her own sitcom.
Get on top of her chart. Be there long, I'll tell you that right now.
Well, you say that the traumatic girls are the best in bed, so that would make Kelly Pickler your type, because she is now telling Us Weekly that she suffered abuse, not from her father, who was in and out of jail.
Well, he would have liked to abuse her, but he was incarcerated.
He was too busy being in jail. Her mother, she says, mentally and physically abused her, including at one point, Kelly Pickler, this is from Us Weekly, said that she just wanted God to take her away, and the mother put a knife on the kitchen counter and said, here, do it, suggesting that she kill herself.
You know what I like about these people?
What?
When they do that thing where it's like, yeah, my daddy beat me and he raped me and he hit me with a, put out a cigarette butts on me and he was in and out of prison, but you know what? I still love him. My daddy's my daddy. I really hate that because my dad missed a couple of Pop Warner football games in 1974 and things have never been right between us since.
Okay, well,
makes me feel petty. I don't like that. Don't forgive anybody, please.
I'm with you. There's a company called LogoCan and they're marketing an energy drink for a very specific purpose. This is not a joke. I'm going to play you something from Hannity and Combs last night.
Our next guest says the only thing illegals are missing in their quest to cross the border is a supercharged energy drink to get them through the hot deserts and into the United States safely. The drink is called Green Card. Its slogan is papers. We don't need no stinking papers. So you formulated this drink to help illegal immigrants run from authorities.
Well,
have energy to them to avoid Border Patrol. Is that?
Well, that's correct. If they're going to be out there, I'd rather see them have some energy and get hydrated.
Mm-hmm.
He says he's against illegal immigration, but if you're going to do it, be hydrated.
All right. Well, we have put in watering holes and stuff in the desert because these people are, you know, it's 118 degrees. They're in Arizona. They need replenishment.
Yes. Nobody would like them to be hurt out there.
Good times. No. Yeah. Just wanted, like, we got no problem.
God bless him. I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
What do we have here?
Well, we have a true Renaissance man, Vladimir Klitschko, Dr. Vladimir Klitschko. Good to speak to you, Doctor.
Good morning.
I was watching you last night. I know you didn't fight last night. It's the miracle of TiVo. I was watching you last night make short work of Calvin Brock, undefeated before he ran into Vladimir Klitschko and ran into his big right hand in the seventh round. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
What's the plan for you as far as the heavyweights go? Who would you like to see in the ring next?
I'm looking forward to fight the strongest guy, and right now I'm looking forward to unification of the titles.
Now, right now you have one, and then the Russian giant, the 7-footer, Valujet. Not sure what his name is.
Valuev, yes.
Yes, he has one. Also, Oleg Moskev, who was around years ago and popped back into the heavyweight division. Wiz also has a title, and then there's Shannon Briggs, and there's you. So you'd like to get them all together, do a sort of tournament, and end up with one guy who was the unanimous champion.
I'm a big boxing fan, I believe, as you.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I'm looking forward to see a real, real champion in the heavyweight.
Is there any... Yeah, there's any one of these guys, and I know you have to say you don't care who you see next, but if I was playing baseball, I might not care so much. If I was boxing, I would care if it was a 7-foot guy or 6'2 guy who I was going to see next. Is there anyone you'd rather not fight, and is it the 7-footer?
No. It doesn't matter. I'm looking forward to fight the strongest guy because I believe that right now I'm the strongest guy out there. I just want to have challenge, and of course, I need also unify the titles.
Right.
And then there is no questions out there, you know, who hold the titles, because many people even don't know how many versions are out there. They don't know who are real champions of these versions and so on and so on.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to have one person as a champion, independent of any versions and any questions.
Yeah, you want to go back to the days when we knew it was Muhammad Ali or whoever holding the belt, and you knew that was the heavyweight champion. What about your brother, Vitaly, or some people call him Vitaly? And which is it, by the way?
Vitaly actually is his name, and he's retired. Unfortunately, we didn't make it to become a champion at the same time. Only 4 months separated us from our goal because he got retired in December and I won the title in March last year. And unfortunately, Vitaly has to retire because of the surgery. And he got injured and he couldn't continue anymore. But anyway, he retired as a champion, and this is great fact.
And you wouldn't have fought, sorry, Dave, but you would have never fought your brother.
No. We promised our mom we never will fight each other.
Me and my sister used to fight for free all the time. Stab me the crocheting needle once. Yes.
Who is the second guy out there?
That is Dave Damashek with his number one sports.
Klitschko, what's happening? Hey, why is it that you imagine that every great heavyweight champion now seems to come from Russia?
All right, this question is coming up pretty often, and I believe the nationality is not important. You have to perform very well in the ring, and audience will accept you. It doesn't matter where you are, in Japan, United States, Russia, wherever. If you're a champion of the world, you're going around the world.
Right.
You're fighting in different countries, the same like Muhammad Ali did, and all people love this guy. Doesn't matter where he is from and where he was fighting, people just love him. And I think, I believe, if you're a chicken, you're a chicken. It doesn't matter where
you're born.
From. You have to perform well. If you don't, you're out.
Are you calling me a chicken?
No, he's calling you chicken ass. I think most Americans are sadly sort of torn. We're like, well, he is from the Ukraine. On the other hand, he's white. It's a push.
Look, Buster, do yourself a favor, walk away.
Well, I gotta tell you, now I have a controversial question for you. I watch you all the time, and I know your famous trainer, Emmanuel Stewart. He always calls you Vladimir. He never calls you Vladimir. Do you notice that? And does it bother you?
No, because of my the spelling of my name, I spell it with a W, but actually it's with a V. And
but it doesn't start with an L like he does it. He calls you Vladimir. I've heard him say it on TV 700 times. You gotta correct him.
There's so many ways with the names, you know. And
just punch him one time.
We understand each other, and that's important. So
all right. So you don't care who's next, but when do you think your next fight's going to be?
My next fight is going to be in spring, and I think it's going to be in March. Mm-hmm. I don't know exactly against whom or one of the champions out there who are holding the belts, Valuev, Moskev, or Briggs. But the fight will coming up definitely spring.
And what is it? You don't live with your brother, do you?
We are brothers for last 30 years. So he's 5 years younger. I'm 30 right now.
Mm-hmm.
And
he's 5 years older.
Older, yeah. And we actually talk on the phone every day, and that doesn't mean we live together. So he has a family, he has 3 beautiful children.
Oh, he does?
Yes.
And you're single?
Yes.
Oh.
I didn't make it. Actually, he gave me all the time good examples in my life.
Yeah.
And now he gave me a good example to become a father, get children and so on. And I want to try the same stuff, but it's not easy. But
yeah, first finish having fun. He's a big, beautiful man. I have to say, you're easy on the eyes. Big, muscular, hairless Russian guy with a piercing eyes and a chiseled chin.
You know what? I accept compliments from females, but not from a man. I'm sorry.
Well, maybe you didn't hear, but we're all bi over here in the United States. That's why we can't get the title back from you guys. You guys are too much man for us.
Let's be honest, though. Vitaly may have inspired you, but like every Russian fighter, it had to be. Your number one influence was Ivan Drago, who fought Balboa and killed Apollo Creed in the ring. Yes?
Actually, I have nothing to do with Ivan Drago.
Oh.
It's a great classic movie. I love it, and the story is great.
Do you have a favorite Rocky? Mine's 27, by the way. That's my personal favorite. But do you have one?
I think all of them are pretty good.
Oh.
And I think maybe second was my favorite.
Second one is good. All right, Vladimir, or as your trainer calls you, Latimer. Thank you very much. Really, tell him to correct that.
It was airy nice to speak to him.
One quick low blow. We'll correct that in a moment. So we'll be looking forward to hearing from you soon and figuring out where your next fight's going to be and who it's going to be against and all that kind of stuff. Will you come in and see us in studio, please?
Yes, I would love to. Where are you guys?
We're right here out in Los Angeles. As a matter of fact, I know where you train, and it's just a stone's throw from the studio.
All right. So next time we're going to see you in the studio.
That's right. All right. Vladimir Klitschko.
Thank you.
Heavyweight champion of the world.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
Sounds like he could do movie reviews for us.
Yeah,
Rocky 2, he prefers over 1, an unusual opinion.
He speaks 4 languages. I would care who I fought next. I would not want the stiffest competition. I want the guy who was suffering with hepatitis C. I would not want the stiffest competition. I don't need that kind of challenge. I need a payday and a victory. That's the way I roll. We'll take a break. When we come back, I think we're going to play a little game with our own Oswaldo Castillo. You thought Vladimir had an accent. Figure out he's going to be singing some Frank Sinatra, and you'll be laughing and winning, so don't worry after this.
Rancho Cucamonga. Oh, Oswaldo. You review a movie. What a thrill. You cook the flapsteak. We can't understand the words you say. Left this reviewer called
Oswaldo, my good old friend Oswaldo. He was in my driveway when I got home yesterday afternoon. Wanted to talk about his landlord.
Uh-oh, he's having problems?
Well, when Ozzy wants to talk, that's between $2,500 and $3,000 normally. And when he wants to talk about his landlord, you might have to put a couple zeros behind that estimate. I just put it off until today.
What's the beef?
I don't know.
What's a flapsteak?
I don't know what the flap is, or the flapsteak, or the beef, or the beefsteak. But either way, we're going to talk about his landlord. I just usually cut to it and ask him how much. What are we talking about here? All right, we have a box set of Frank Sinatra stuff to give out. It's Frank Sinatra Vegas. This is a brick. I mean, this is more than a box set. This thing is like a cinder block. There's 5 discs. In this baby, I mean, there's got to be 250 songs. It is the definitive and ultimate Sinatra box set from Rhino Records. We're going to give one away. No, we'll give 2 away, but we got to do a little Name That Tune with Ozzy first.
It's Osvaldo, Frank Sinatra game. You can win Frank Sinatra box sex.
Box sex?
Yeah, sex to go. I had it at the Hollywood Bowl the other night watching the Super Bowl. I hung a box sex. Nice. Paid a little more than I wanted to. Robert?
Yes. Hey, good morning.
All right. You ready to play?
Yes.
We're going to do Ozzy's going to sing the Sinatra songs. If you get 2 out of 3, You're going to limp away with this box set. You ready to go?
Sweet, I'm ready.
Here we go.
Luck and you be ring, being a lady to begin with. Luck be a lady tonight.
Oh, I think he just kind of said it. Luck be a lady.
There you go.
If you've ever been a lady to begin with, luck be a lady tonight.
All right. Let's go with the next one. Again, 2 out of 3 gets you the box set.
Someday when I'm lawfully low, when the war is cold, I will feel a glow. You're sticking out, you, and the way you look tonight.
The way you look tonight. What a beautiful rendition. Thanks, Ozzy.
It's making me sad that that Sinatra died before he got to record a duet with Ozzy.
Well, perhaps we can do that thing that
Nat King Cole and daughter.
Yeah.
I will feel a glow just thinking of.
All right. Let's do one that's not so goddamn easy. Or did you already win? That's right. You got 2 out of 3.
Right on, Adam. Thanks.
All right. Let's win the box set. Let's move ahead to our next sap caller. Sorry, listener. Damn it. Frank?
Yes.
That ironically named Frank?
How's it going?
You ready to go?
I'm ready to play. Can you also give me the title in the song, please?
Well, yeah, we should cut it off if it's enough ramp up. Pot it down before he gets to the actual thing. Well, here's what happened and the way it worked. We tried this before without giving the title, and you couldn't tell the song at all. Now we're giving it with the title, and it's too easy. There's got to be some happy medium that we arrive on. I would say if he ramps into it, like The Way You Look Tonight, he sung that one for a while, and then he got to it. Maybe we should pot it down before he gets to that if that happens again. You ready to go, Bri? Here we go, Frank.
The record show, I love the blow, and it's my way.
Oh, good nice try.
That's a tough one.
Yeah.
That's a tough one. I honestly can't make it out.
Really?
If it was in a duet with Jesse Jackson, I think I could get it. But no.
Can't get that one.
No,
huh?
it's tough.
All right. Well, let's hear what it was.
The record shows I took the blow and did it.
Oh, come on.
What do you mean? Look, here, play Ozzy's again. It's right there.
It was there.
Come on. Why didn't you play My Way?
clear as a bell, dipped in guacamole. Here's
the duet. The record shows.
A tour de force for Brian.
My way.
Now look, you can still go 2 for 2 and walk away
okay,
with the box set.
Let's do this.
Here's an easy one.
All right.
Through the you and the world, some the country and be free. You break up by the horse, give the happy be party.
Oh my God! Oh, he's killing me.
It's a famous Sinatra song.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. Just the way
it's off the Young Lovers album from 1961.
Oh Jesus! You know what?
Through the you and the world.
It's not.
Should we play the Sinatra version?
Can I pass on that one?
All right.
I know that one.
All right, Frank.
The Jew down the well.
That's right.
That's it. All right. Do I get credit for that one?
Yeah, I was going to say day late and a dollar short, but you're about a week late and $10 short. We'll do one more. If you get it, I'll give you the box set, all right?
Cool.
All right.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars. Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter or Mars.
Fly me to the moon.
That's good enough.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars. Let me see what spring is like on
Jupiter.
Let's hear another one.
That was nice.
I'd like to hear one more. All right.
I get no kid from champagne. Mira alcohol, don't treat me hard. So tell me why, should it be true that I get kicked out of you?
Throwing you down the well, but he's going to kick out of you.
It's shining glances, wandering the night, one way it changes.
Strangers in the night. All right, that's a good way to go out. Stay potted up there, Brian. Wandering in the night. We give away two of these big box sets, courtesy of Rhino Records. Five big CDs. Looks like hundreds of millions of Sinatra songs. What's that?
Is there a DVD in there?
I don't know if there's a DVD. Oh, it's DVD as well? Amazing. It's, I'll tell you, it is thick as a brick, this box set. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with So What Have We Learned after this.
Hey, this is Norm McDonald. You're listening to the Adam Carolla Show. Please do not call him. He doesn't care for that sort of thing.
I love Norm McDonald.
He was great when he came in. I wish he'd come back.
Yeah. Wish you hadn't asked him if he was high on prescription medication nine times. Very uncomfortable.
I've honestly relived that moment many times and wished I could take it back.
Not drunk then? No. Nothing. Wow.
I felt horrible for about 2 weeks.
So this is how you go through life. Wow.
Wow. Thanks for bringing it back.
All right. I don't forget. I only forget the nice things family members say about me. That's the only thing I ever forget. Where were we? That's right. Just enough time for a little something called So. What have we learned? Well, we've learned that I'm an atheist, and even I think having sex in a casket is a sin. The thing is, I'm an atheist, but I'm not into sort of mocking fate. I don't like to have loud conversations about the chances of airliners crashing before I board a plane that's heading for New York, you know. I'm an atheist, but I must admit I am a little bit superstitious at times. And again, the reason I'll only have sex in an urn, not a casket. And I'm alone.
Messy.
Well, not as much as you think. Never mind the food court. My favorite place at the mall, the jerk court.
It's a theme to this one today.
Dave Damashek wearing waiters in a chef hat and nothing else. The king of the jerk court. And last but not least, Ozzy, old blue eyes. It's good stuff.
Good times.
All right, tomorrow, Cindy Margolis from Playboy, Larry King. Wait a minute. Comedian Larry King?
No, it's Larry Miller.
Larry Miller.
One of the great comedians of the last quarter century.
Yes, I love Larry Miller. Larry King would be a better booking, but I'm going to go with Larry Miller. We seem to have problems sometimes when we make cards where people recognize their first name and then write in the second name of the first person they can think of that has the second name that most matches the first name they know.
Larry David coming in.
Craig T. Nelson could be Craig O'Brien because they went to high school with Craig O'Brien. We'll take a quick 20-hour break, and until next time, it's Adam Carolla saying mahalo.